This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So we have this crazy story came out yesterday that there were secret commandos deployed on January 6th with shoot to kill authority. Now we started about a minute or so late because the initial story I had read said that Trump had deployed them, and I think that was incorrect. So we wanted to change the headline and then actually have a discussion about what it really means. It was the DOJ. It was apparently, I think, Rosen who deployed these commandos to prevent a terror attack. I don't know if it actually came from Donald Trump. I want to make sure that was clear, but this is huge. If it was the executive branch that was trying to shut this thing down, I think it's still incorrect to claim that there was an insurrection narrative, or the insurrection narrative is completely absurd to begin with. And this is just more evidence to the fact that the media is completely in the wrong about what happened on January 6th. But there's a better story outside of all of this. That I think is the big news, the lead. There's also a really funny story. If an election was held today, Joe Biden would lose to Donald Trump. The nation supports Trump by an average of 5 points above Joe Biden in aggregate, not any single poll. And if the mainstream media is maintaining their narrative that Trump is currently involved in a conspiracy to overthrow American democracy and that there was an insurrection or a coup, that would mean that Americans, knowing this, support it more than Joe Biden, which says a whole lot about what their narrative is. But we'll have to break down the news to make sure we get it absolutely correct. There's a bunch of other stories. The Daily Mail has joined Getter, which is huge. Because once Getter becomes a utility for news gathering, you're going to see way more people signing up. So that's a big deal. 500,000 people reportedly signed up for Getter after the Joe Rogan episode. And we've also got reports about lockdowns coming in Canada. And believe it or not, Bernie Sanders will face a primary challenge from the left.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden will? What? Speak, Jack.
Bernie Sanders' campaign manager says that Joe Biden will face primary challenger. And since it's Bernie Sanders' manager saying I guess the implication would
I totally screwed that one up. Thank you for correcting me on that Jack. Well, as all of you know, Jack.
Live fact checking.
I got that one wrong. Jack, what's going on?
Welcome back. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to everybody. It's been a minute. I've got my Baidzwa t-shirt on, which is Tim's favorite word in Mandarin. But Tim, why don't you tell us, what does Baidzwa mean?
White left. It's Mandarin for SJW.
And the subtitle is, China figured it out, we didn't. Uh-huh. Right? And so this is actually sent to me by the Myth and Form guys for Christmas. So Merry Christmas, guys. You bunch of filthy atheists. And, no, it's really cool. This is the idea that in the West, right, we are sort of controlled by the grip of this like fearsome minority of the white left, where they're just these angry little, but, you know, very vocal and loud screaming leftists that are all typically white and have this undue influence in the West for some reason. And China figured this out and made it a joke years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we saw this with Patton Oswalt. He's a perfect example.
Amazing.
He's like,
example.
I've been friends with Dave Chappelle for 34
Absolutely
years, but I'm
going to
apologize for being friends with him.
I'm going to apologize for being friends with the guy who created and starred in Chappelle's Show, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Who's one of the probably the most prominent comedian in the country right now. I mean, how could you think of anyone that's more prominent than
Rogan, than Chappelle, the two of them together?
I mean, is Rogan just a comedian, though?
No, he's like, eclipsed that.
Because he's more than, I mean, he's prominent. But I think he's prominent for being other than just his comedy.
We'll get into this.
Yeah.
We got Luke here.
Jacek Posobiec. Thank you so much for coming on here. And, you know.
Bardzo dziękuję.
I'm impressed. He's been working on that. But anyway, today I am wearing a shirt representing Joe Biden in his natural essence and habitat. That, of course, is a puppet. With the saying, who's really in charge? That's a big question. And of course, that's left to a lot of interpretation, but it gets a lot of people thinking. And if you want to do that, you can by just getting this shirt on thebestpoliticalshirts.com and supporting me at the same time. I'm excited for this conversation. Yeah, check. It's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And we also have a new person joining us that came back that wasn't here this year at all.
Back from the, he hasn't I just got hired.
First time all year. Since last year.
My first time on TV, guys, so be nice to me. Hey, I'm back, guys.
One of last season's...
What's up, dudes?
Yeah. I had you survived the Langoliers, man.
It was wild. I fell asleep on the plane. I don't remember much after that.
Yeah.
Did you see any walnuts that were possibly airborne?
I almost screamed at you just now.
Possibly airborne.
Yeah.
Airborne walnuts.
Ian survived.
Yeah, is Langoliers at the end of the movie? They're like, yeah! And then it like pauses in midair where they're like jumping freeze frame.
I don't think so.
Cheap movie.
No.
I never saw the end.
That might have been.
What's really funny is I've only ever watched Langoliers once, but I was on an airplane and I never saw the ending because I fell asleep.
Oh, there you go.
Dirty.
It's a common problem.
Dude, I promised him I was going to start wearing jeans on the show and no longer wear my pajamas. I'm going professional this year, but I got to show you guys this. I came home yesterday.
He's wearing pajamas.
And I found these.
Oh my gosh.
Who would send me such crazy and amazing pajama pants? It was Luke Rutkowski.
Those are super rare.
I was like, those look new.
Nice. Yeah, and you've got to wear pants, man.
They're smooth. I was like, come on, dude. I was like, no, tonight.
This is a professional environment.
Tonight we're getting smooth.
Yeah. We're in the office.
You're very welcome. Yeah. I love you guys. Thank you so much. I had an amazing time away from the TV for a little while, and I highly suggest doing the same for yourself, for your state of mind. Be good to yourself and your friends and your family. Now is the time.
Amen. Right on. We got Lydia.
Yeah, I'm here as well. We were joking about polarity before the show tonight, which is always great source of freaking dad jokes. And I did want to say that I remember when the Chinese went from making fun of the Bai Zhuo to like weaponizing them. That was
totally weaponized.
That's right. Very smart. All right, everybody. Before we get started, head over to timcast.com and become a member. We're going to have a special members only podcast that goes live around 11 or so p.m. We do that Monday through Thursday. So it'll be, of course, with Jack here. And as a member of timcast.com, you're supporting all of our journalists, all of the work we're doing, and we are constantly innovating and expanding and working on more amazing projects, hiring more journalists. The more you guys sign up, the more we expand and do the news reporting. We get a ton of people working here now. I think it's like up to like 32 maybe. Ooh. And that's all thanks to you. So again, go to Timcast, support our work, check out the store where you can buy awesome merch like this shirt that says, "Don't be that guy. Be a gorilla." And if you understand the meme, it's the Alex Jones meme when he came in here and he kept saying, "I am a gorilla."
I'm a gorilla.
Over and over again, and we decided to make a positive thing. We don't want to tell people, we don't want to make a, "I'm not that guy." No. Don't be that guy. Be a gorilla. Be strong. Be confident. We were like, we need a positive message here. But don't forget, you can also subscribe to this channel. Smash the like button. Share the show with your friends. Let's read this story here. This is from Newsweek. Came out the other day. Secret commandos with shoot to kill authority were at the Capitol. On Sunday, January 3rd, the heads of a dozen elite government special operations team met in Quantico, Virginia to go over potential threats, contingencies, and plans for the upcoming joint session of Congress. The meeting and the subsequent deployment of these shadowy commandos on January 6th has never before been revealed. Right after the new year, Jeffrey Rosen, the acting attorney general on January 6th, approved implementation of long-standing contingency plans dealing with the most extreme possibilities, an attack on Donald Trump or Vice President Mike Pence, a terror attack involving a weapon of mass destruction, and a declaration of measures to implement continuity of government, requiring protection and movement of presidential successors. Rosen made a unilateral decision to take the preparatory steps to deploy the Justice Department's so-called national forces. There was no formal request from the U.S. Capitol Police, the Secret Service, or the Metropolitan Police Department. In fact, no external request from any agency. The leadership in justice and the FBI anticipated the worst and decided to act independently. The special operations forces lurking behind the scenes. So here's the question I have with this story. If they knew all of this, if they had the foresight to say there was a very serious threat, where was the National Guard? Where were the Capitol Police? Why weren't they sharing intelligence? Why weren't they doing anything to prevent the so-called insurrection?
It's almost like they wanted it to happen.
Mm. So I can explain to everybody a couple of things here if you want. So there was that bit. So right before we started, there was a question of, because I think, Tim, you had seen on the Daily Mail, the way they categorized this.
I think it was Daily Mail.
It may have been Daily Mail, that Trump had deployed these teams, right? Which changes things. But if you read through what it states is that Trump had approved the authority for these teams.
Oh,
but
interesting.
Trump approved the authority for these teams back during the summer of 2020. And he had put the order in because, remember, the riots were going on late May, early June 2020. Horrific. The city of D.C. was on fire.
Hold on. Trump authorized commandos with shoot to kill authority because of the George Floyd riots?
So yes and no. Well, yes, right?
It's not like
he specifically said that. But this is what we would call this is the NCR conop. So the NCR con op, and if Tom Sauer were here, he would know exactly what I'm talking about. That essentially means if there is a threat to the national capital region, that's kind of like all bets are off. Like, this is the head of the government, right? So if there is a threat to the national capital region, that stuff's just in place. You just press the button and boom, all this stuff gets spun up. And it gets spun up real fast. And so I believe, and I knew, and I reported some of this back when it happened, but there were reports that the 82nd Airborne was flying airborne. Remember those helicopters that you saw over DC during the summer of 2020? So let me just put it this way. If the 82nd is up in the air, who do you think is on those birds, right? Who do you think is operating on the ground if you can see the 82nd up in the air, right? It's just one of those like common sense kind of things. Like, just think about this. That's tier one response, because if the head of government goes down, right, who else is left? Like, you need to defend the Capitol. And so they do not play any jokes with, they do not mess around with that stuff. And so we already knew that Barr during the summer of 2020 had taken the step to deputize all federal law enforcement agencies. Remember this. This was reported. I know you've talked about it.
Are you talking about in Oregon?
In throughout the entire country. All three-letter agencies that were 1811. So if you have an 1811, that means you're a special agent. So if you're Customs and Border Patrol under DHS, if you're Secret Service, if you're even IRS, right, has 1811s. That's your special agent, federal law enforcement. That means I'm federal agent, right? Federal agent, right? That's 1811. So an 1811, however, is not normally tasked with, or your Bureau of Prisons, for example, that's, they have 1811s. You're not usually tasked with defending the Capitol.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Barr put forward this is the same reason why BORTAC, which is the special ops unit for the border, went up to Oregon.
That's right.
So Barr had put out this blanket order. So a bunch of these blanket orders were signed during that period. This is one of them. However, I don't think Trump ever considered that it would be used at the Capitol during this.
Interesting.
However, because the authority was already signed, Rosen looked at it and said, yeah, sure, send them to the Capitol.
They didn't do anything, though.
So we know.
Oh, I see.
Well, so what I think the reason this is, why is this coming out in Newsweek now? Why, when there's been so many questions about January 6th, when this has been front page news, even though, by the way, the ratings on anything related to January 6th, they're in the dumpster, right? Nobody in like the rest of the country is really caring that much about this. And the opinion polls bear this out, that you have one narrow band of people that like really, really care about it. And they all watch Rachel Maddow and Joy Reid. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are in the White House currently, like Ron Klain. But other than that, people have kind of moved on. They care about inflation. They care about the gas prices, etc. But suddenly you've got people like Darren Beatty, like myself, who have been out there talking about, you know, Tucker Carlson had this huge documentary about what was going on with federal agents in terms of this. We're 1 year away from it. We know that the January 6th committee has been continuing. They're going after Hannity now. They're going after other people.
Hannity.
They knew. They are. They've just requested his, you know, they've requested his assistance. And then if he doesn't comply, that'll be next episode.
Did they request documents from you?
I have not had any communication from January 6th.
Got it.
Committee. And then, where was I on that? Okay. So they know that something is going to come out regarding this. They all called Tucker Carlson crazy. They said tinfoil hair on fire for suggesting that federal agents from these agencies may have been involved on January 6th or involved with any of these militias or anything like that. And now suddenly we get these people coming out on their own.
I see.
To say, well, okay, we did have special operations commandos, but they were only there to protect. They were only there to do this. And we guarantee they weren't doing anything else.
So you think that some of these guys were involved with effectively planning or pushing people towards things like that? Well, I don't want to say that guy's name necessarily, like, but there's a guy who everyone's accusing of being a Fed.
Yeah, and I don't even know if it would be that far, but I would guarantee you that at some level, if these guys were doing their jobs, they would be running operations. They would be dressing up plain clothes. They would be going into the crowd. They would be saying, hey, what are you guys doing after? What are you doing after the thing? You guys going up to the Capitol maybe?
I think the narrative's already.
I think that's all going
to
come out.
Well, the idea that the DOJ had enough foresight to prepare to have special operations on the ground suggests that for some reason they did not have standard law enforcement, police or National Guard, that they were so worried about a terror attack that they get a handful of these commandos. Why not go talk to the police and say, hey, look, we think this is a serious threat, so why don't you beef up security?
Which, by the way,
in that video
Tim, don't bury the lead. There was a terror attack. There were pipe bombs that were planted on January 5th, the night before, at the RNC and the DNC. I'm like, you know, I get that you want to go after, like, rolling up, you know, MAGA meemaws and everything in Alaska, but I'm a little bit more worried about who was planting the pipe bombs, you know, at the heads of our national committees for both parties.
The intelligence agencies definitely lost Vegas shooter, that thing.
Oh, yeah, Stephen Paddock, the guy.
That's definitely one way of expressing it.
Largest mass shooting in U.S. history, and yet we don't even know anything about his motive.
And then the fact that we had this incident, you know, all over Washington, D.C., which is a surveillance grid, which has surveillance cameras everywhere. You had someone leaving pipe bombs, and they still haven't caught the person that
next to the
did
Capitol.
That.
And if people don't know where those are located,
I believe
they're
the RNC or
distance.
DNC as well. There's a number of pipe bombs that day. And this, of course, leads to a lot of speculation, a lot of conspiracy theories that there was a plan B if something didn't work out, that they would use this as a staging.
You've seen the Blue and On thing on this, right?
Yep.
Who they claim who it is?
No, I didn't see that.
You haven't seen this?
Who they claim was that?
There is a Blue and On thing out there where they claim that the pipe bomb, because of... There's like some reason that they say from the video. I don't know if it's the sneakers or the walk or something. Blue Anon actually claims that the pipe bomber was Marjorie Taylor Greene. I kid you not.
Wow.
You can go look it up. They actually have, I don't know if there's articles, but you can find it on like TikTok and stuff where they say, yeah, that we think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, and they have these whole theories and like, where was she the night before, et cetera. They're making fake tweets about it.
No joke. Daily Dot fake tweet attempts to link Marjorie Taylor Greene to Capitol.
Yeah, and Daily Dot is like as far left crazy as you can go.
I'm kind of with you here, Jack. I think the federal government is more implicated here than we even know about.
Wait, look at this. Same gait, same left arm swing, same dropped left shoulder.
That is
shoes
crazy.
Look the same.
Turns out it was a human.
Wait, like, guys, dark pants.
Whoa.
Dark naturally.
Pants were both worn by Marjorie Taylor Greene.
That's a shadow.
And the pipe bomber. Casts a shadow. Roller suitcase.
Oh, she
a
has
roller suitcase.
She has a roller bag too.
She also has a roller bag. Yes.
Nobody has a roller bag.
Nobody has roller bags.
Not a single person.
Yeah,
they stopped using those in the '90s.
Yeah, I mean that's fair.
Now everyone's got skateboards. They carry all their stuff in individually wrapped plastic bags.
I'm going to have to be skeptical on this one. I've been watching a lot of information on the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and that I've heard that the American government knew there was going to be an attack. They didn't know where, so they just let it happen because they needed to incite the people to get angry and go to war. And when I see these like waiting, letting it happen, they knew it was going to, they were there just in case, but they kind of let something happen. It looks like they obviously didn't stop it.
I can't,
Whole thing about like Admiral Layton, who was the N2 or the J2 for PACOM at the time, who was the intel director out there so before he was Admiral. I think it was Commander Layton. My Navy buddies are going to be mad at me for that one. He had predicted that it would come to Pearl Harbor, but nobody listened to him.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways people address that. They say either we had reason to believe it was ignored, we had intelligence, it was ignored, or they outright knew it was about to happen and said, stand down, we need it.
Well, it's not that we didn't miss that the entire Japanese fleet left Tokyo.
Right.
The idea is, are they going to hit the Philippines? Are they going to hit Hong Kong? Or are they going to hit Hawaii? And what people don't realize is that they actually hit all three at the same time.
But I will say this, because I can't speak to that stuff. I will say the history people think they know, man, if you had any idea. And the example I often give is...
If the news are fake, imagine history.
Take a look at Occupy Wall Street. Occupy Wall Street, the story of what went on in Occupy Wall Street is predominantly told by those who favored Occupy Wall Street. The people who opposed it weren't in the park. So there were very few people who are going to give you an honest assessment of what actually happened there. And even the people who might be there as actual journalists couldn't see the entirety of the picture. Not even I could, not even Luke could. We were down there. But I'll tell you this, the stuff I see they write about Occupy and what was going on, I'm like, man, they just lie about everything to make it seem good. What's going to happen is it's going to be 20, 30 years, and they're going to be like, we're going to read this book on what happened during Occupy Wall Street, and it's going to be all fluff, all of the bad stuff stripped out, and I'm sure the same is true for American history and for the Revolution. The
Spanish Civil War,
Spanish Civil War. There's probably a whole bunch of really crazy, gruesome, awful stuff the Americans did during the War for Independence that just doesn't get told about.
Yeah, dude, the Native American genocide.
Oh, dude.
The conquest.
Well, I mean, it's conquest. You look at the movie The Patriot with Mel Gibson, which is a fantastic movie. And they talk about the you know, what did he call it? I don't know, the wilderness campaign, the really brutal stuff that this guy did. There's probably stuff you're never going to hear because the people who won were probably like, don't tell them what we had to do to win. Give them a good victory story.
It's actually why I like the movie Fury. If you've seen that one. Oh, really? You haven't seen that? So this is the movie. Any of you guys seen that?
No.
So Brad Pitt, I think Shia LaBeouf is in it and a couple other people. And it just shows, it's a story of like one tank unit, in Europe. And it's just it's the mud and the grit and the dirt. And like some kid comes up with, you know, with an RPG and they've got to shoot the kid, right? Or else he's going to blow up the tank and kill everybody. And it's just, it's dirty and it's nasty. And there's this one part where Brad Pitt has, and they have the German, right? And so Shia LaBeouf has just joined the unit, is kind of the plot of it. And they've got this Nazi that they've captured, and they're like, and Brad Pitt's like, we ain't got no room for prisoners here. This ain't a prisoner unit. And he's like, he's got a job. His job is killing you. You got a job. Your job is killing him. Are you going to do your job? Are you going to let him do his job? And it's just like all these various scenes like that culminating, you know, the first thing he has to do is wash his buddy's like face and guts out of the tank because he's taken that seat.
Yeah.
You know,
I seen that movie. It was very, oh, you have very, seen, yeah, now yeah, it yeah, reminded yeah. me exactly yeah, of who you were talking
it's
about.
Like, but this is what 99% of warfare was like.
Yeah. And there's also the bombing of Dresden, which bombing also Dresden, yeah. goes unaddressed and not talked about. What FDR knew about the, you know, the camps. There's so much history that again, we just aren't privy to, and so much of it has been covered up and censored.
Who infiltrated Auschwitz twice, yep. was writing reports from the early 40s back to, so a Polish underground intelligence officer infiltrates Auschwitz, sets up literally a radio relay from inside the camp to get it out to the Polish underground. They send the reports back to the British. The British put it on a shelf.
Yep.
Wow.
FDR too.
And yeah, FDR, yeah.
Let's talk about modern sentiments because I want to stay on the January 6th topic. We have the story from Newsweek. Biden starts 2022 trailing Trump by average of nearly 5 points in 2024 election polls. Now, I would like you to all enter the worldview of the establishment left. They believe that Donald Trump staged a military coup and failed. They believe that Donald Trump staged an insurrection and failed. They believe that he is currently trying to engage in another coup and another insurrection. The Atlantic writes, Trump's next coup has already begun. January 6th was practice. Donald Trump's GOP is much better positioned to subvert the next election. Combine these stories and you will start to see a very interesting picture.
Is this the
picture.
One where it's like, you know, people are running for local precinct yes. chair and stuff?
But look, there's another story that we talked about on the show a few weeks ago where it says the Trump conspiracy is still continuing. If these mainstream publications genuinely believe that Trump is actively engaging in the subversion of U.S. democracy, it means that the polls show more Americans favor the insurrection and the coup than the establishment government.
Well, I have a thing on this, and I was kind of joking around on Twitter yesterday, and I said, you know, all of the headlines make sense if you can learn to speak regime-glish.
And regime-glish.
Regime-glish, yeah. I figured you'd like that one. And so if you speak regime-glish, so, and I lifted this bit from Adrian Vermeule, and I don't usually make it a habit of quoting Harvard professors, but, you know, he's kind of like a token, you know, good guy, so I'll quote him. And he said, when they say democracy, they really mean liberalism, right? Yeah. So just always substitute the word, you know, Trump is a threat to democracy. Trump is a threat to liberalism. Well, Trump is seeking to subvert democracy. Trump is seeking to subvert liberalism.
You see that, but I don't even think liberalism is the right word because they're a cult. It's just something entirely different.
The liberal
different.
Economic order, that thing they started in the 40s.
The liberal
but
order,
did you see that clip that went viral where, you know, they're like, the Republicans are a threat to democracy, because they might win elections?
Yeah, this is, it's not a coup when you unseat a sitting president through votes and win the election. That's a natural way that it functions. It might seem coup-ish
because
it's a new guy coming in and unseating
again,
the old one.
They have, right, in their own mind, they have gone so far into their own, you could use the phrase of the day, mass formation psychosis, where they actually believe that democracy and liberalism are synonymous, that they're the same thing. There can be no other order. And this, of course, is not just a mass formation psychosis thing. This is actually a religious belief, right? You know, there can only be one true religion. So if there can only be one true order, then anything that arises that's a threat to that, that's outside the Overton window of our order, must therefore be against all of democracy.
Take a look at this other story we have from TimCast.com. About half of both Republicans and Democrats view the other side as enemies that threaten their entire way of life.
Wow.
So maybe it is true. You know, maybe most Americans, if an election was held today, would vote for Donald Trump over Joe Biden. But here's the thing. Those Americans who support Donald Trump don't believe an insurrection happened. These are people who probably read the news, watch the news, saw what's going on, and they're like, that's ridiculous. The narrative isn't true. Because if they truly believed that what Trump did was a military coup, they probably wouldn't support him. But they don't, because
a military coup without the military or without any guns.
And a bunch of unarmed people. And most of which were let in through open doors and smiling police.
And this will be, you know, Nancy Pelosi, if you're watching, right? You know, I think I said this on air.
She doesn't know how to use the internet.
Oh, no, yeah. No, but her little acolytes do. The disparity here is that the people inside the media and inside the Democrat Party and inside the January 6th committee say that every single person that showed up on January 6th was anti-constitution. But if you talk to anybody who was in the crowd on January 6th, right, every single one of them would have said, no, I am for the Constitution. You're not following the Constitution, and that's why we're here, right? So in their mind, they are the ones fighting against a coup. You get it?
Right.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
In a way, it's like the easiest solution because neither one of them intend to stage a coup. They both think the other one's doing what they're doing, or the other one thinks that they're doing what they think the other one's doing. And like,
yeah, but that's one's objectively wrong.
Yeah, so how do you unwind that?
Here's what I think when I see this. I think this is mostly a product of the incoming generation and polarization from the previous generation. So I don't think we're seeing this hyperpolarization just because people are reading social media and becoming polarized. I think it's that younger people who are more radicalized by the previous generation, or I think a fair way to put it is when you look at the Pew graph, conservatives have barely moved to the right at all. The left has gone far left. You have corporate America and liberal parents in big cities pushing this heavy indoctrination. I mean, my whole childhood growing up, it was just endless leftist, talking points. So these people grow up living in this world, which is far left. They weren't converted to the far left. They have developed in a far left mindset.
Yes.
So as time goes on, it is the new generations that are polarized against each other. What I mean to say is two millennials, one who is far left and one who is conservative, weren't like previously friends who read a news article and then went, I now disagree with you. Oh, no. Why are we enemies? These are people who grew up in entirely different realities and cannot see the other side. Now, it is true. It is the rule on the right. The right does read left-wing publications and does follow left-wing individuals. And it is the rule on the left that they don't. We've gone through the graphs. We've pulled up many left personalities. They don't read right-wing news. So you have the left that is in a collective, in an echo chamber, and the right, which, looks at both. they're not going to get along.
I've also said, though, that this one of the biggest problems on, you know, of conservatives or like, you know, up until now is that conservatives will pathologically deny and reject the notion that pop culture and Hollywood have any effect on society. You know, they say, oh, no, those are just movies. That's not real. Don't worry about that. Whereas, as you just said, there's an inundation of left-wing talking points out there, and a lot of that is coming through Hollywood, whether that be TV, movies, it's in some cases video games now, where it's coming in. And whereas if you're on the right, you're like, oh, well, no, we can just separate that out. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. And I think the new right is at least finally trying to get that, like, software upgrade and understanding, no, wait, you know, we actually have to do something about this. But it's amazing because I will tweet something about this and say, hey, I think this TV show or this movie or whatever it is had a bunch of influence in this direction. And I will get conservatives saying, oh, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. You can't talk about this. But what did Barack Obama do when he was in office? He would go on late night shows. He would go on comedy. He would do all this stuff. Yep. He would appear, you know, in things. And people would say, and people on the right would say, would just laugh. And they would attack it and they say it was stupid. He would go on YouTube and people would attack him. And meanwhile, on the left, they're like, oh, I like this guy. This guy's cool.
And this is the mistake that the media made with Trump when Trump had his well-done steak with ketchup. He had a 30-day dry-aged steak and he ordered it well-done with ketchup.
Yes.
And the media mocked him for it. But that made him more relatable to middle America.
Well, right. Just really quickly, this is why I think Barack Obama, after he left office, started to work with Netflix with an exclusive deal.
100%.
And I would even go further than you, Jack. I wouldn't say it's talking points. I would say it's covert, subliminal messaging that, of course, is put onto people through the forms of entertainment. It's not entertainment. It's propaganda. And it's fomented in a way where it's not – I don't think it's leftist ideologies. I believe the entire left has been taken over by a corporate establishment that is using them as a conduit to push their agenda, to make people weaker, to make people dumber, to make people more needy for centralization, which of course is going to be granted and given to them through the multinational corporations. So I think, you know, I wouldn't even describe these as leftist ideas, but more of corporatist ideas, with them really calling the shots here from my perspective.
Is it just fascism? You know, like corporations and government colluding with each other?
Yeah, it's a new kind of digital fascism.
I mean, that's literal fascism.
But also now with the latest psychological tricks, they could get in our brain in ways that they never could before, especially with, again, social media, especially with how we interact with them and all the information we give them. They have data sets that dictators would have wished to have that will, again, help them conquer the general public, because we're literally giving them everything about us. And when they know everything, they could weaponize that and use it against us.
So have you guys seen Don't Look Up yet?
No, yes. Of course.
You've seen it? So
I thought it was great.
One thing, I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the social commentary, and people were like lighting me up for saying that I like this, because everybody gets skewered in it. But one thing that I don't think people realized very well is the primary antagonist, like the main villain of the movie, is a tech oligarch, transhumanist, right. Globalist.
Slash Bill Gates.
It's like Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and like a Hillary type.
No. It shows a picture of the president hugging Bill Clinton.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, and it's irrelevant to the scene. When we were watching, Luke's like, look,
Clinton.
I totally didn't notice that.
Yeah, in the middle of the conversation,
like kids were running around,
it just jumps to a picture of the president hugging Bill Clinton for no reason.
Huh.
And I'm like, I get it. At the very least.
Wait, so this, I think, is this one of the first times that we've seen that a tech oligarch has been portrayed as the villain in a movie?
Kingsman?
Kingsman, would be one. The Circle, I think, would be another one, which like nobody has seen, even though it was Tom Hanks and Emma Watson. They totally memory hold that one because it was
I saw it. I barely remember it.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. But one of the key things in Don't Look Up and that one is that all of what Luke was just talking about, they have all your data. And the way this is played out in Don't Look Up, and I thought it was funny. He was like, I can actually predict how you're going to die. Down to 96.6%. And I looked up your algorithm when you left. The one thing I remember is You'll die alone.
Yeah. And there's also that Amazon,
which I'm not going to spoil it, but actually it was wrong. That guy, if you remember the ending, actually right. His prediction
spoiler.
Was wrong.
Good.
I know a little bit of a spoiler.
What was the Amazon series that they canceled season two of because it was too real?
Utopia.
That was another one.
Did you see that one?
You have to watch that one.
It's about a tech billionaire who's worried about overpopulation. He makes fake meat.
Wait. And this was on Amazon.
It was on Amazon. Okay. Hold on.
It gets crazier.
Hold on. Let me get this explained because
Bezos is like, I don't think so.
They canceled it. They canceled it. All right, hold on.
Yeah, Bezos had to.
Utopia is about a tech billionaire. He makes fake meat. He's concerned about overpopulation and climate change. So he stages a fake pandemic to rush through a vaccine without proper approval that secretly is sterilizing people.
You're still talking about a TV show.
TV
and
show.
I think so. I'm not done.
This isn't Luke's latest.
Hold on.
No.
In the show, there is a comic book that reveals what the plan is and what's going on. And the comic book is called Utopia. And so when they find it, they're looking through it to figure out clues for what's happening in real life because whoever wrote this has privy to information.
So it's like a whistleblower is writing the comic.
A mad scientist
So let me explain to you. It's a TV show where they find a piece of art and media that explains to them a tech billionaire who's worried about overpopulation is pushing through a rushed vaccine with a fake pandemic to sterilize people. Now, let's talk about reality. In the real world, we have a piece of art that claims to say that there's a tech billionaire who's concerned about overpopulation. But as we all know, our tech billionaires are concerned about overpopulation.
Yeah.
They want fake
meat. Wait, our tech billionaires just care about us.
They just care about us.
Put us in the metaverse.
Right. No.
Yeah. I've been diving deep into the metaverse this last couple of weeks. It's one thing I've been doing. I got turned on to this woman, Melanie Swan, by Allison McDowell, thanks Allison, who's very skeptical about blockchain and how it's basically a big tracking mechanism. This fascist global organization is going to use blockchain to track people. They want to create what's called decentralized autonomous communicative service, a DA. Let's see what this is called. Oh, I think I'm coming through loud. I hope you guys like this. Decentralized autonomous corporation blockchain is a brain. They want to upload everyone's behaviors, thoughts, and feelings to this blockchain together to create this Uber mind and then just track it and do what? I don't know. Cause a lot of this code is private.
Elon Musk is building, brain interface chips and they're all talking about the metaverse, which is pretty much online digital heroin from my perspective.
That's
how
what I think
I've
is hilarious is that people will go off about Bill Gates, but then Elon Musk will come out and say, no, I literally want to put a chip in your brain.
Yes. Huh.
And then nobody says anything. They're like, no, but he's cool.
But Elon also attacked crypto because it was allegedly bad for the environment. So again,
right.
There's
the, well, he went on SNL and attacked it too.
Exactly. So there's a lot of things that the billionaires are up to that I think they have way too much control, way too much power, way too much influence. And they got there because of government. And now they're using government for their own personal benefit. And the billionaires are getting super rich right now from 1 year. Their wealth increased, I think it was $319 billion. Someone needs to correct me if I'm wrong. 1 year, the top wealth of 9 billionaires increased $319 billion.
Luke, you saw that photo, by the way, of Jeff Bezos down on his yacht.
Oh, yeah, getting serviced by the lady with the mask,
right. And he's there, like, glistening in the sun on his super yacht, just like,
developing immunity.
It will not be a tech utopia. It will be metaverse.
Is how they right exactly yeah. Metaverse is how they establish Elysium, right? Because the neo-feudalism and then the Elysium tech aspect comes in because you're distracted.
Yeah.
You're distracted by, and look, Palmer Luckey, like, I love you, dude. I think you're a good guy and all, but like, why did you give Oculus to Mark Zuckerberg, man? Come on.
He would have done it regardless,
but this is where it's going. And I, by the way, I saw Zuby just got booked in the metaverse. So he's going to be playing a show.
Did he say what website? There's a few of them now. There's Decentraland is one.
Yeah.
But is it a site or is it a place?
It's multiple places.
Yeah. No, but it's like a place in the metaverse.
Metaverse is meaningless. What people keep saying in the metaverse, it's like, yo, there's been Second Life. There have been apps for this forever.
Sure.
And now they're just calling it a metaverse or the metaverse.
They're going to integrate finances in with it.
Great branding.
I got into,
Mark Zuckerberg's branding. It's also the phrase used to describe a nightmare dystopia, but sure.
I got into Decentraland, Bill Altman, CEO of Mind.
This is how they're going to do it. It's, you're going to be hooked up to this and Mark Zuckerberg's going to be down at St. Bart's and his life's going to be getting longer and longer and his yachts are going to be getting bigger and bigger. and Leonardo DiCaprio's islands are going to be increasing, and he's going to be bringing more and more people down there while he talks about climate change, and all this is going to be going on, and you're going to say, oh, did you see what's going on in Metaverse? You know,
you're
going to
be in a pod eating the bugs.
Your 8-year-old's going to be making money on the Metaverse and going to be completely dependent on the system. It's going to be terrifying, dude.
Totally plugged in from birth.
Little kids in the womb might be playing games with their thoughts.
The Matrix.
And digital heroin. I think that's more of an accurate depiction, because when people are hooked on it, just like they are social media, you see them in the grips of what the algorithms make them, and what they're doing to people, especially young people, is absolutely horrible.
See, the polls understand this inherently. Hey, wait, you don't need to explain this
Jack,
to us.
I just figured it out.
What you got?
So in Star Trek, what happens is, you know, Zefram Cochrane, he discovers warp technology right as the Vulcans were passing by. And the Vulcans are
first contact.
First contact, right. In our reality, the Borg was just passing by.
Well, that is, we're in the one where they change then.
Right.
Because that's actually the plot of First Contact, where they go back in time. The Borg and comes. It's the Borg that comes.
But
They make First Contact. And then you see for like a glimpse, right, where what the future would look like. And it's like a Borg world instead of the Earth.
Yeah, toxic gas. The atmosphere is polluted.
So the humans are just assimilated immediately?
Yeah, yeah. The entire planet
is assimilated. Not immediately. It's that it shows you what the 24th century would look like if the Borg had made first contact rather than the Vulcans.
Okay. So for those that are familiar with us nerd stuff, the Borg is a race of they're people who are assimilated with technology into a hive mind, like digitally. And so they all become mindless drones.
Basically everything Ian just said.
Kind of like a DAC, a decentralized autonomous corporation.
Yeah. So what's going to happen
on a blockchain?
So did you see what Alex Jones was saying when he went on that rant? And he was like, an alien intelligence has taken us over and I'm sick of it. And like he recently was yelling that.
I mean, he's been yelling that for 20 years.
But artificial intelligence could be considered alien, right? Because it's brand new. It's not on this Earth.
Define alien. Yeah,
and exactly. and he might not be wrong, especially with how fast AI has been developing and its larger consequences of it creating godlike authority and what Putin calls the new nuclear weapons that will be far more devastating on humanity. And the country that develops it first will be the ones controlling the world. So there's a lot to unpack there, but he might not be wrong there. Let's be real.
This is what Yuval Harari. He calls it Homo Deus, right? Human gods. And I think there's a whole meta clip of this where it's Elon Musk on Rogan, and they intersperse it with Alex Jones on Rogan. And you actually hear that they're saying the same things, right? They're talking about the exact same things. Alex just does it in a more bombastic way.
Oh, yeah.
Elon does it in that like softer, more mercurial kind of way. But they're actually describing the exact same dynamics and forces at play.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like they say if you keep using old tools to build the modern system, you're just going to end up with an old system because you're using old tools. So you use we're building the tools that we will use to build the future. I've been doing a lot of math in the last couple of weeks, and like the Fibonacci sequence, you take the past number added to the current number to get the future number. The past number is 1, the current number is 1, the next number is going to be 2.
Everyone forgot.
And that's what technology is doing.
Everyone forgot what Yoda taught them.
We're going to be using this technology.
What did he teach? What's the lesson?
Yoda's most important lesson of all. We are luminous beings. We are not this crude matter. 100%.
I think we're the brain. Do you ever see the picture of the brain stem connected to the brain with the brain stem and the eyeballs? Have you ever seen that picture?
Yes. Dude, it looks like an alien.
That's what we are. Floating in
that's
just,
no. In China, that's just your interface, man.
In China right now, to go anywhere, you need an app.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's the viral video out of Israel where the guy needs the green pass. Do you see this one?
From McDonald's.
He goes to McDonald's.
And then if you click, you don't have one. It just resets.
Yeah. It just kicks you out.
You don't exist.
It's all necessary for transhumanism. If we're going to, in order for transhumanism to exist, people have to step above the human experience. It no longer can be about carnal pleasures, dopamine, family, traditional, anything. The human race has to be looked at like lab rats or chickens in a farm. Or not even a farm, but like a laboratory to be controlled, to be mapped out. And that's what these people are doing. Now they'll probably end up building an artificial intelligence that will start guiding that behavior. But ultimately, the way I see it is, you have single-celled organisms, and eventually they become multicellular organisms. Well, single cells go about their business and do their thing. But in the human body, you have highly specialized cells that do basically one thing. But they're cells, right? I think that's how they view the human race. Each individual human is just a stupid human going about its business. And if we fuse all the humans together, we can make a multi-organism system a higher plane of existence. I think that is part of what they want to do. Basically creating a hive mind. Put everybody in the metaverse, put everybody in the system, have all their brains work as like decentralized computational power, but it's going to require everyone to be, homogenized cultures, homogenized behavior. So what do? Everybody get your green pass. Everybody fall in line, and those who don't will, it's friction in the system, right? You were mentioning friction. You make a system where it's extremely difficult to exist outside of it, and eventually, given a few generations, people will not exist outside of it. Yeah, or they will be, but they'll be irrelevant.
Yeah, there's a very American ideal that, you know, I will die for freedom. I will die for the right to make my own decisions, and I will, you know, sacrifice myself on the altar of liberty if need be. And I think that is sort of the American ethos, right? But at the same time, just look at the last 2 years, right? Humans comply. By and large, the majority of people will comply. And as the water increases, right, the boiling temperature of the water, it increases. And some people will say, hey, I think this water's getting hot. Hey, guys, I think these waters are getting, maybe we shouldn't be in this pot anymore, guys. I don't know. What are we thinking? They say, that guy's crazy. This water isn't getting hot. I feel fine, right? And yet the water's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And then eventually you boil. And meanwhile, everybody who jumped out was called crazy for jumping out in the first place. I think that's closer to human nature. And I think that we've seen, by and large, the distribution pattern of human behavior has been that. Look, when it comes to America, when it comes to liberty, when it comes to the revolution, you know, people say it was like less than a third of the American colonists actually supported the revolution, actually went along with all this stuff.
A little bit more.
It's hard to, yeah.
But really quick before we jump into that point, but there's also a Florida man that don't give a damn, that bathes in it,
that's
and then
true.
Distills
whoa,
alcohol
me,
in
that's
it.
That's not true.
Excuse me. I was not bringing Florida man into this. There is no need.
Much love for
no
man.
Need to bring Florida man.
Do you know why? The myth of Florida man is based on sunshine laws.
Exactly. We all know about that, but there is.
Wait, break that down, because that doesn't get said enough.
Yeah, it does.
Records release laws. If you commit a crime in Florida, the public has a right to know. A lot of states don't do that. So you'll constantly hear stories about Florida man doing something. Yeah, it's just because they release the information.
It's because they release the information other states don't.
Yeah. We're all like that.
If you're bored, just look up Florida man in a particular date.
That being said, if you go to Western Florida, there's Florida man down there.
I did a lot of research into how many people supported the revolution. And there's a famous letter where I think it might have been Ben Franklin wrote, a third support it, a third don't care, a third oppose it. But that's not true. That was just like a talking point. It was just rhetoric.
Okay.
The best I could find was that it was like, if I was going to give it a number, because I don't think they gave it a number, they said a plurality, but not a majority, around 38 to 40% supported independence. And then it was like 20-something percent that opposed it. And then the next group was completely neutral. But I don't think it's as cut and dry that most people didn't care. I think that is true. So I think my math might be wrong, but it was a mix. The best I could find, it's not easy, was that a large portion, if not the majority, like the plurality, wanted independence, and the next biggest group was, leave me alone, I don't care, I want to have nothing to do with this. Then you had opposite, you had loyalists, you had the Tories or whatever they were.
Right, and that's why Canada exists, by the way.
Yeah, Quebec said no.
Yeah.
That was originally going to be the 14th colony. And
right.
So
the Canadian colonies were still, there was no separation like there is now. Right. It was just the North American colonies. But a lot of the Tories moved up to Canada and said, no, we're going to fortify this area. This was Benedict Arnold's original mission, by the way, going through the Great Lakes to try to take those Tory colonies. Didn't go so well. He gets mad that he says he wasn't supported by Washington, et cetera, so he flips. That's the whole story.
Canadians
overlooked for promotion.
But they're actually, if you go into this, this was the American invasion of Canada.
Yeah. No, we did invade, we did, didn't we? The United States tried taking Montreal.
Burned Toronto. Yeah. Well, what is
War of 1812,
at the time it was. No. That's at that. And then so at the time it was called York, is what I was going to say.
Oh, wow.
And then so the burning of the White House was kind of seen as like a response to the burning of York.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's talk about La Resistance. From the post-millennial, 500,000 sign up on Getter.
Woo!
After Joe Rogan joins platform with
you
a simple tweet.
To see it.
Joe Rogan destroyed big tech and tore apart the chains of political discrimination, holding back millions of patriots. Okay, that might be a little bit over the top, but
hyperbolic.
As we are talking about the power of Silicon Valley and the metaverse and these tech billionaires, any opposition to this, be it, you know, Getter or Gab or whatever, is a good thing. The post-millennial reports more than 500,000 people have joined Getter, a pro-free speech social media alternative. The surge in popularity was sparked by Joe Rogan. I don't think that's true necessarily. They say it was sparked by Joe Rogan joining the platform. I think it was Dr. Robert Malone and Marjorie Taylor Greene being banned.
I think it was a snowball.
And well, then Malone goes on Joe Rogan's podcast and says, I'm on Getter.
Situation.
I signed up. I'm pretty sure I signed up and a bunch of people, I saw some people signing up.
Oh, Tim doesn't want to get written out of the story. That's what it is.
No. I was not the first person. I saw other people saying they were getting on Getter.
No, I know because you sent me a message that morning.
Right.
Before Joe Rogan said anything.
Before Joe Rogan.
No, I'll back you up on that. You did.
I said, do you know the guys at Getter? I need to gain control of the account.
Well, because what they do is they, and a lot of like Minds did this too, where they would take, like, if someone's got a big account somewhere else, they would go and then reserve the same name for them,
right,
so that someone can't come out and camp on your profile name.
So I saw other people posting they were going to Getter. I've done this before, but typically I'm like, you know, when Getter came out, I was like, I'm not going to sign up for another one of these things, man. I got too many already. But then after listening to Joe Rogan's podcast, when I heard Dr. Malone say he was going to be there, I was like, I'll claim my account. I'll get on there because if people are going to be using it, I want to hear what they have to say if they're getting banned. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene is on there, of course. Carl Benjamin is on there.
Yeah.
Then I saw Joe Rogan sign up, and then I was like, oh, get it. And then everybody after that, once Joe Rogan was like...
Floodgates were open.
But it was his podcast that did it. When I heard his podcast and Malone said he was on it, that's when I was like, I'm going to look this up. I'm going to see what's up. So I think that is what drove... It wasn't Joe Rogan joining. It was Joe Rogan talking
and
about
we were
it
saying
show.
We were saying it was Gettermas. I mean, I had better engagement, and people know that, look, I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I'm on Twitter a little bit, though. But I had better engagement on Getter that day. Or, in fact, actually, it's still going on, even till today. I've been having better engagement on Getter than I've been having on Twitter. And that's just because there's more people out there. And so there's a lot of people in the mainstream media who don't understand what engagement is. And they don't understand how social media works. And I saw some people tweeting out, like, oh, well, Getter doesn't have as many users as Twitter, so you're diluting your brand, et cetera, by going on these things. I'm like, no, you don't get how this works. You totally don't get how this works.
When the New York Times gets like 3 retweets.
Yeah, they go, oh my gosh, it's flood. Their notifications are flooded.
It's crazy when you look at mainstream celebrities and they get no interactions. And there are a few people who work for these big media companies that I know, and I'm like, yo, their accounts are so fake. They get followers because they're put on what's called
I can always tell.
When people sign up for Twitter, they're like, follow this person. They go, okay. And then no one cares what the person has to say.
Well, this is the Rubin ratio. Didn't Rubin come up with that?
What is it?
So it was the Rubin ratio, where it's the amount of followers you have versus the amount of engagement you get.
Ah, I've not heard that.
Yeah. So if you have if you look at like an Anderson Cooper, right, like he has a really bad Rubin ratio because he'll have like 3 million followers
and no
and
one
get
engages.
Like 20 retweets. Yeah,
and then for me, I make some ish post about random garbage and get like 1,000 retweets.
Exactly,
and then people in media believe it's real, and then everyone who retweets it's in on the joke. I really love that. The funny thing is, So many, I said, LOL, Joe Biden is so dumb, haha, got him or something. And then MEAWW runs the story, like, Tim Pool was slammed. I'm like, it was a, like, isn't it obvious to these people yet? Like, that my tweets are garbled nonsense?
It's kind of this weird dynamic where they've decided to turn, so you understand, like, if you're not someone who's part of the program, right? If you're not on team Just Look Up, right?
Yeah.
You're a zoo animal, right? Like, you're an exhibit to them. It's what I remember there was one time where Cernovich and I were just randomly joking around about how ugly cargo shorts are, and we got written up. They're like, the right wing has launched an attack campaign on cargo shorts. How dare they? And like, it's like this thought piece, and they were trying to explain how like right wing ideology led to anti, and I'm like, guys, it was, like, it's just, we're just messing around.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with cargo shorts.
There's everything wrong.
I want to let you guys, real quick, I want to say something important. Two things.
Completely disagree.
Technically three things. Twitter does not drive engagement. So this was true back when I worked at Vice and Fusion. They'd always, like, I'm not sure if they did, but I'm pretty sure Fusion.
Well, drives engagement on Twitter.
On Twitter, but yeah. Fusion was like, we don't care for a Twitter button because nobody clicks links on Twitter to go out.
Nope.
So there's another, but here's the important thing. On Getter, check this out. Daily Mail has signed up for an account. This is big. They got 384,000 followers. I don't know how many are actual followers on Getter because they do this thing where they just say you have followers on Twitter for some reason.
They migrate your followers over. Yeah.
And then people claim their accounts or something.
Yeah. And I wish they would, it's clever because it's for a startup, but I wish they would at least if you were as the user, you could see the differentiation, that you could see, hey, this is real.
Here's what's important though. In their latest post from yesterday, AOC's ex-communications director says Biden is old as ish and deeply unpopular. It's got 164 reposts, like retweets effectively, 450 likes, 36 replies. That is really good engagement. The New York Times doesn't even get that engagement on Twitter.
Getter engagement's real.
It's legit.
Completely
real. People talk, and that's what's important. Are you engaging with people? But more importantly, they're actually getting play they probably wouldn't get on Twitter.
Yeah.
Getter's got better engagement.
And I've seen some people asking me about this. They say, why are there so many Chinese accounts on Getter? And this has come up a lot. And that's one thing where, you know, I realized because I've been on Getter for a little bit that people don't realize this, that Getter was the first community that came to it was the Chinese whistleblower community. And these guys, I went out and spoke at an event they held actually on the 4th of July at the World Trade Center. And my wife and I got up and we both gave a speech in Mandarin to them.
Wow.
It's this massive organization. It's overseas, predominantly overseas Chinese that have fled the regime, as well as some that are inside China still that are now able to use Getter and use other places to communicate. And people don't realize how many of them there are. So I think something like I was watching an interview with Jason Miller and he actually admitted that like only 30-some% of Getter's user base is US and the rest is overseas. And Twitter's, I think, is even less than that. Twitter's like 15% US.
I just wanted to ask you, what makes you trust Getter, and are there any kind of guarantees that they won't become the next Twitter and start censoring people? Because there's already some rumors that people are being censored and deplatformed from there. Are there any kind of guarantees that you're reassured by when it comes to Getter? Because I signed up because I just saw everyone doing it. But I'm, of course, skeptical.
I mean, I don't think there's any guarantees on anything in life. Was it death and taxes, right?
Yep.
But, you know, I caught, and actually, I think I caught yesterday when you were talking about this, it's your terms of service, right? Are you being held to, are you upholding your terms of service, or are you playing games with some kind of like amorphous, vague, ambiguous community guidelines that nobody can really make any sense of? So give me it your terms of service. Okay, I'll read this. I'll say I can say this, I can't say that, etc. Same way YouTube has terms of service, right? They have certain very clearly delineated things that you can and can't say. Okay, fine. Like this is your playground. I'm going to play by your rules. But at the same time, if you're just arbitrarily censoring people, then that's what I'm going to call out.
Yeah. We read the terms and services. They seemed very legalese and very vague from our perspective. I mean, that's how I saw it. Is there anything particular in there that kind of you saw that's different than the other platforms?
Not specifically, no.
Okay.
I'm looking at the terms right now. You may not post.
I think a lot of that
we,
stuff.
We read the Getter terms the other day. They have like.
Profane. Can't post well, profane no, they, you, stuff it, on Getter.
Hate speech is banned.
Yeah. Define
hate,
profane.
Hate speech is outright banned. Yeah.
Is it proprietary?
Like explicitly.
Is it proprietary code? Is it open source code or proprietary code? I can't find it open source. I think it's
the term. Now this is important. Is it criminally defined hate speech? Like the it's when up police to the officers
there's
get
there's
to
no
go
such
after
thing is criminally defined.
You know what I mean?
Well, there is in other countries.
Like who's going to be the one? That's what I mean. Are they going to be implementing the laws from? Are they going to be implementing the laws from Germany?
No.
Or is there going to be someone else who's going to be making those decisions on what is hate speech and what is not?
Usually the state law.
And who's going to be making those decisions?
Because this
and what oversight will there be
with Rumble though? This is the issue because Rumble is Canadian, and in Canada they do have hate speech laws.
Mm-hmm. It comes down to the state that the company is incorporated in. You got to follow those state laws if you're going to go by.
And Getter is incorporated,
but then I don't know. But then Rumble is moving to Florida, right? They're moving their headquarters.
Good.
So my question is, will their move to Florida then change their terms of service?
It'll change how they define what's legal,
in a sense, because even though they're still operating,
the terms are written so they can stay on the Play Store and the App Store.
Well, yeah, obviously.
You don't have to enforce them ever. That's true.
Yeah.
But they check that stuff.
Well, they make excuses. I mean, Twitter's loaded with adult content, and they don't care about that.
You know, it's like, hasn't that always been part of Twitter, though?
No, I'm pretty sure it's not allowed. But
I think
it's quote unquote not allowed, but they allow it.
Like every social network, they can ban you at any time for any reason.
When Dorsey was CEO, like, he was always very public that they allowed porn.
I don't know if that's true. You want to pull that up, see if
I think Twitter did use porn, I'm pretty sure.
I'm pretty sure it's not allowed.
I think Twitter has always said that we allow this.
Because the App Store doesn't allow that.
Really?
The App Store will ban you if you allow adult content.
And yet another, and this goes back to Luke's theory of the tech overlords have one set of rules
for
themselves.
No. If you type Twitter porn into search, there's a lot of Twitter porn accounts coming up. I'm not.
Okay, well, that's not what we're
Stay focused, okay? We got a job
you
want to
know. Is porn on Twitter? Was that the question?
Is it banned
on Twitter? No. I think we all generally agree that it is on Twitter.
Yes, it is in fact on Twitter.
The question is it against
is it allowed or is it against the terms?
You know, is it against the terms of
service? Consensual nudity policy.
Well, that's like revenge porn.
Yeah.
So consensual nudity they're okay with? Why doesn't Twitter block porn? I think the idea was they were going
to. If you
go to
Twitter terms of service, it will state under this that it differentiates between consensually produced.
You may not post media that is excessively gory or share violent or adult content within live video or in profile or header images. Media depicting sexual violence and or assault is also not permitted. So does that mean porn is banned?
Doesn't sound like it.
You could click more.
It's just saying that it can't be in your profile or your header.
Right, but it can be in your actual feed.
No, it doesn't even say anything about that.
I don't know. Seems like a little
You can't advert. It does not actually.
Look up the revenge porn policy because...
Well, that's obvious.
But I believe it's mentioned in there.
That was it. Yeah.
What is not a violation of the policy? Look.
Oh, I see.
Pornography and other forms of consensually
produced are allowed on Twitter. Okay,
there you go.
They are allowed on Twitter. All right. Well, then how are they allowed in the App Store?
Yeah.
That's
a good question. And that's something that we battled with at Minds in the early days. Like, how do you... They just know people. It's
because
like
the tech
you get in, you're in the club.
Because they're the oligarchs. Yeah. They're in the club, man.
The friends of the friends.
And you are not.
Interesting.
Ultimately, I think all these sites should be allowed to have whatever terms they want. Expect to get banned on any of them if it's not your platform. That's one way to go about it. I don't trust any of this stuff, especially if the code's private.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some cultural issue here. And it's going to be a hard side. We read the story from The Independent. I think it's important to talk about. YouTuber Ethan Klein calls Joe Rogan a piece of ish for vaccine misinformation. Rogan's fan hit back after Klein calls out how podcasters' logic makes no sense.
I appreciate you bringing back ish, by the way.
Well, Luke did, actually.
Luke did. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite words.
Right.
I can't say much here.
It deserves
vocabulary has been cut, and like 25% of it has been cut.
So Ethan Klein, a host of H3
Luke's still working
podcast,
on his English.
Hit out at podcaster Joe Rogan saying, Joe Rogan, who lives on elk meat, egg yolk, and human growth hormone with lungs full of tar, thinks he's healthier than everyone. This MFer is such a B that when he got COVID, he threw the kitchen sink at it. If you're so healthy, just write it out like you say a man should. Due to this cause so much vaccine hesitancy and misinformation, and he doesn't even have the balls to stand by the ish he preaches. Now he's on his show talking about how fat people should just die of COVID due to such an effing piece of S. I have a legitimate question. It's not a dig. Is Ethan Klein saying this because he's an unhealthy, overweight individual?
Probably. Yes.
Sounds like
and
it.
So like, it was like, when Joe Rogan was talking about being overweight and unhealthy was bad for you.
Personally. No, this
I
is.
I think people, yeah. Yeah, people take it personally.
So if you understand, sociosexual hierarchy, right? This is typical gamma male rage against an alpha male, right? Mm. This is the basic idea of, you know, someone who's kind of at the bottom of the food chain in terms of preference, lashing out at someone who is higher up on the food chain from them. And it's very simple. You see this a lot, with YouTubers, but not just YouTubers in general. That's just, they're more ubiquitous these days. You see it everywhere. You see it in real life. You see it in, you know, office hierarchy. You see it in high schools, colleges, et cetera.
Political leadership. That's when it's scary.
To an extent. Well, political leadership is a little bit different though, because political leadership is not conducted because of someone's, health and prowess and accomplishment, right? There's all these like Byzantine rules and ways. I mean, look at, you know, we've got like the Peter Principle presidency right now. Joe Biden was not picked because he's our most competent leader, right? That's not exactly how he got there. So for Ethan Klein to lash out, it's totally in line if you understand sociosexual hierarchy. That being said, my question is, he says lungs full of tar. Is Joe Rogan a smoker?
He smokes weed, right?
Yeah, he smokes weed.
He doesn't smoke cigarettes. But Joe's a health nut.
I don't think so.
Cigars? Puffs on cigars?
Oh, that's right. I'm pretty sure he does smoke cigars.
But does he inhale?
I don't know.
You're not supposed to inhale cigars.
Yeah, obviously. Cigars. So how would your lungs be filled with tar then?
I don't know.
But we should also point out that this is some of the stupidest advice given out by Ethan Klein that absolutely makes no sense. You're telling Joe Rogan not to take medicine that a doctor is telling him to take?
This is the paradox of what he said. Ethan Klein is not a medical doctor. No one here is a medical doctor. We all have our opinions.
Bill Gates a medical doctor?
Hell no, he's not.
But Ethan Klein, to be like, Joe Rogan shouldn't give medical advice. You should not listen to him. You should listen to them. It's like, bro, you shouldn't be giving medical advice either.
Oh, yeah, he should be hit by YouTube. Wait, in terms of services, it's Twitter, it's not YouTube.
Look up what the medical background of the CEO of Pfizer is.
What is it?
He's a veterinarian.
Boom.
Oh, he's a veterinarian.
He's a veterinarian.
Oh,
well, and a salesman. A very good one.
Interesting.
Oh, Joe is he's a healthy guy.
Yeah, he is.
That's just, I mean, he is
great.
Fit.
I saw an Instagram video of him doing a front kick a couple days ago. He looks like he is 42 years old.
Yeah.
He looks great.
He exercises all the time. Now, you can certainly talk about, you know, your opinions on diet and whether or not, you know, eating so much red meat or whatever is good or bad. But for Ethan Klein,
it's good, by the
way. Paradoxically, it's actually a bit ironic, I suppose, of him to be like, Joe Rogan's an idiot for saying these things when he's quite literally a podcaster saying the exact same things in the other direction. It's the same problem. Like, you should not be, you know, though a lot of people have pointed out the goal of what he said was to generate press and it worked. Here we are talking about him. The media's writing about him. Congratulations.
Explain to me what's wrong exactly with elk meat, egg yolks, and HGH.
Okay, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
I can tell you how he's using that as an insult.
He like wrapped two nascent ones in with like a more controversial one, and it's supposedly.
It's like, bro, you're on the side of GMOs. You're on this, like, you would be on the side of the Sackler family early on in the OxyCotton debate when it comes to this.
Crazy.
How dare you be against the Sacklers?
I don't think he tweeted for attention. I think it's like, you know, people tweet because people tweet.
Well, it's gamma male rage, dude.
No,
100%.
Well, sure.
He was not thinking about any of that stuff.
He's an unhealthy guy who clearly does not eat right or exercise. Joe said that's a huge comorbidity, and Ethan got upset about it and said, who are you to criticize me when, you know, you won't take the vaccine or whatever?
Explain to me the pathology, right? And I've still been trying to actually find this one, and if anyone's in the chat who has this, because I always try to examine the various, like, there's, you know, Dr. Mullen talked about mass formation psychoses, but there's also like narrow formation psychoses. There's all these different little bands of pathologies around in our society today in this post-industrial society that we have. And so the interesting one that I found is like, show me a guy who looks like Ethan Klein, who's like triple vaxxed, you know, giga vaxxer, who's eaten Uber Eats and DoorDash all the time, and yet will scream their head off about you being unvaxxed as a threat to their health. What is the pathology there of someone who clearly has not taken one step to change their personal behavior, but will demand that you change yours?
The CDC has said health. around 30% of COVID hospitalizations are in the obese.
Yes.
CNN just came out with a report. Yeah. This is what Rogan was commenting on, exactly. That obesity is a huge contributing factor to hospitalizations and even death. I don't understand why Ethan should be mad about that. He's saying now he's on a show talking about how fat people should just die of COVID. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Joe Rogan didn't say that.
If Joe Rogan said that, that clip would be everywhere.
Right, right. Joe probably was like, you got to get healthy, man, you know, start eating better.
Hey, if we want to talk about national exercise, you know, mandatory exercise, yeah. 10
mandatory
minutes a day,
morning calisthenics.
Mandatory calisthenics. All right, let's go. Let's go.
I see Luke smiling.
Let's do it. I wouldn't do it just because the government made me do it. Even though I'm exercising right now, that's what I'm thinking about.
Luke is
right
like,
now.
Poland does not comply.
You know, never.
I think that Ethan wants in on the conversation. I feel like he missed the boat into the intellectual dark web because he's a smart enough guy, but his joking kind of idiocy persona thing is keeping him out of the club, and he's angry about it. Like, dude, you got to be serious.
I don't even know
if
the IDW
is
like the IDW is a thing for people to like attack, but it hasn't actually been a thing for years.
Yeah, just the idea of like a group of really intelligent podcasting people that are communicating and have kind of a community. Ethan kind of, I think he wants in on that.
However, speaking of which, I believe both Weinstein brothers signed up for Getter.
Oh,
did they?
Both.
I mean, the big story would be Daily Mail. When services start signing up,
yes.
It's no longer just people high-fiving each other. You can actually use the service to get
because
your news.
Because they've realized, though, that from a corporate perspective that, hey, we can make money off of this.
All right.
And that's as simple as that.
And I think
once you've crossed that bridge, now you're legit.
We gotta get our crew to set up that account. So we'll hit up the guys. We normally don't announce guests in advance, so I won't give any specific dates, but we're gonna have the Getter guys on the show.
Nice.
Or Getter guy. Yeah, we don't have a specific date.
Yeah, Luke, to talk about this. Keep your questions ready for those guys, man.
And in the meantime,
we'll bring them.
Getter guy. And start working on advertising.
Yeah, I don't work for those guys or anything. I like it. I get a lot of traffic there.
Yeah.
But
with your experience with mines,
just nail them.
If you can start ringing in an advertising program and get these people paid, man, this thing's going to take off. But I want you to open source your code, and then we'll federate it.
That's the big move. Is I think if we start putting all the articles we write at timcast.com on Getter, then that's going to be huge for us. We're going to see way more traction because people are going to be using it. But it gives you a reason to be on Getter,
and then you can track. You know, you can compare and contrast.
I think engagement will be massive.
I think if they,
I'm telling you, I've seen it. When I post to Twitter, et cetera, my various platforms, Getter is huge.
But if they're able to do that, but also implement transparency and accountability for a lot of their decisions, that would put them over the top because people will now know that there is some kind of accountability, some kind of responsibility on the individuals, and you will clearly know what you can and cannot say. Big tech now kind of works in this mysterious way where they let other people like Ethan Klein give medical advice and other people like congressmen and medical doctors and key innovators of the mRNA vaccine technology be censored on that platform for what?
I think this is wrong somewhat. Zap.
Dr. Yes. Malone.
That's cool though. You should say that to them.
PhD scientist Robert Malone banned from Twitter. Ethan Klein, dude on YouTube, not. Mm. No. Yeah. And I'll even go this far to say Tim Pool, dude on YouTube, not.
Yeah.
I post so much random crackpot insanity on Twitter and I'm like, I don't even know how I still have an account, but they banned scientists and sitting members of Congress.
That's insane.
The system is broken.
And again, what Ethan Klein is criticizing here is a cocktail that according to Aaron Rodgers, who also came out and said that he reads Ayn Rand today, by the way, just another shout out here. But most importantly, what I wanted to mention here, that cocktail,
we can
according
find some
to
better literature.
Jack, don't get me started here. Most importantly, what Aaron Rodgers also said is that NFL teams are secretly using the Joe Rogan kitchen sink cocktail. So this is something that Ethan Klein is criticizing that, of course, has helped a lot of people. It helped Dana White. It helped Aaron Rodgers. It helps a lot of professional football players, according to Aaron Rodgers, within the NFL. So why are you criticizing this? How is this your attack point here?
I don't care about Aaron Rodgers' opinion. I guess you get the jersey behind him. I don't care about the NFL's opinion. I care about the fact that they were prescribed something from a doctor. So when the memes go out and they say like, oh, my doctor doesn't know anything about this, my response is always, dude, if you hired a carpenter who couldn't tell you what a tool was or what kind of wood you were using, you wouldn't hire that person. It's crazy to me that the position of, you mentioned this earlier, Ethan Klein is Rogan should not have listened to his doctor. That's insane. No, you should listen to a trusted medical professional. You get second opinion. But what is the response? Joe should have been like, Ethan Klein is right. Doc, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to Ethan Klein.
Imagine Joe Rogan walking up to his, anybody walking up to their doctor with Ethan Klein's tweet printed out and saying, I'm sorry, sir, but Ethan Klein, this paragon of health virtue, has told me
and that Don Lemon.
And Don Lemon, yeah. Right? I actually, did I ever tell you the story when I met Don Lemon?
No. Gosh.
Yeah, so when I was still at One American News, we bought a table at the White House Correspondents Association, I believe it was 2018. Yeah, it was right after I started. So I'm there. This was the one where they made fun of Sarah Sanders for her eyeshadow. Do you remember that? And that became a whole thing. And she was like on stage. They had this like horrible comedian. So in between, Kathy Griffin was there. I was sitting next to the table right next to me, by the way, was David Hogg. Funny enough. So on our chairs, we're like almost like directly next to each other. It's funny.
Nice.
And he's kind of quiet. And so in between the different, speeches, everybody would run to the bathroom. And so, all the dudes and you're all in tuxedos and you're waiting in line. It's a men's room. But like everybody's like kind of like a, like you recognize everybody in line, even if you don't know them kind of situation. And then all of a sudden, Don Lemon just walks up and he goes, excuse me. I'm Don Lemon. And just pushes his way, dead serious, ahead of everybody who's in line, every correspondent. Excuse me. I'm Don Lemon. Excuse me. Actually saying that. Excuse me. I'm Don Lemon. And then just walks right in front of the whole line.
He should have been like, excuse me.
And he wasn't part of the show or anything.
And took his hand and said, oh, I'm Jack. Nice to meet you.
I'm Jack Kosovic. Great to meet you, man.
Yeah.
Give him a hog. A little too tight.
Watch your show.
What are you doing?
Watch your show. Yeah.
And then he tries you again.
And it was like,
after introducing yourself,
it was like, and I mean, just head, not even making eye contact with anybody, just like, I'm ahead and you all
and
know
people
I'm ahead.
Let him cut
every single let,
let's make a pact that none of us ever
I would have
become
never
like that you guys
that.
I
wasn't
this,
like he was like a host or part of the show or anything like that.
I say this all the time to people, if you are in line anywhere and cut people, they will do nothing. People do not want confrontation. You can it's always been the craziest thing to me that people wait in lines.
I'm kind of the guy that'll say something because you're disconcerting all these people behind me.
In the United States.
Yeah.
When I was in Russia, there was no line.
Although I did
well,
see
in Russia, the line is your elbow.
Yeah. Right. So
in China,
it's a mad dash and it's like a royal rumble when you're trying to get in.
Those little old ladies, when you're trying to get on the subway, I'm telling you, they've got low center of gravity and I'm telling you, they would come right up to me.
They're thick.
And they would take
their in there.
Yeah. They would take their bags and just bam.
I was
dead serious.
I was at the airport in Moscow when I was traveling. I was going from UK to Moscow to Ukraine. And in the West, when they were like, now boarding group one walks over and they get in, now boarding group two, and then group two gets up. In Russia, they were like, now boarding group one, and every single person rushed full speed. It was a mass of people shoulder to shoulder pushing each other out of the way, and I was like, all right, here we go. And then I'm used to being in the big crowds.
And if you don't do that, by the way, you're not getting on the plane.
That's right. Or you're getting on last. You're not getting
overhead space. You might get on last.
You won't get overhead space. And so I was like, all right, if this is the game we're playing, and I just shoved through everybody and then boarded like right away. I was like, okay.
Yeah, people don't understand that the whole concept of like waiting in line and waiting your turn, that is totally a Western thing and it's a very American thing. Outside of the country, it does not exist.
Speaking of Western things, we have the story that Jack mentioned to us earlier that it's huge.
My hometown.
The Eastern District of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Third former GlaxoSmithKline scientist pleads guilty to stealing trade secrets to benefit Chinese pharma company. Whoa. Jack, what's going on?
You've got a situation here. So GlaxoSmithKline, which has a massive facility in southeastern Pennsylvania throughout Upper Marion. This is King of Prussia area. People know, or Valley Forge. People, I'm sure, know Valley Forge, as well as Malvern, Pennsylvania, one of the richer areas of all of Pennsylvania. There's a bunch of facilities down there. There were Chinese scientists who were basically working for this company while also some of them working, some of them subcontracting with GSK, which is a British pharma company, by the way, that has facilities in the United States, were essentially for years stealing secrets, proprietary research from GlaxoSmithKline. The research that Upper Marion facility for Glaxo is a research and development center for them. They were stealing proprietary secrets, sending it back to China, and believe it or not, and let the theorizing fly, because in 2015, the specific thing that they were stealing secrets on was monoclonal antibodies.
No.
This is coming directly from, and we're just reading the DOJ press release on this.
Do they mention that in the press release, monoclonals?
That's where I got it from. That's the only thing I've seen on it so far.
Really?
It's like, yeah, a couple paragraphs down.
I'm looking it up. Do you know when they were invented?
Look at that. Look at that. In January 2015, Lucy Shi sent Yan Mei, is that how you pronounce it? A GSK document which contained confidential and trade secret data and information. The document provided a summary of GSK research into monoclonal antibodies at that time. In the body of the email, Lucy Shi wrote, "You need to understand it very well. It will help you in your future business."
What?
Reno Pharma.
What?
They're powerful.
Sus.
I'll put that
Something
out there.
Something sinister afoot.
Apparently they've been around since 1975, doing a little research on the monoclonal antibody treatment process.
Monoclonal antibodies have been around for a long time. There's a bunch of different kinds they use for a bunch
it's
of different
really
things.
It's really a fascinating process. I think that they start to generate some sort of cells in the mouse, and then they take those out and put them inside of a guinea pig, and then that's where they produce the antibodies.
Isn't it related to stem cells and stem cell
technology? I don't know much more about it. I was listening to Peter McCullough talking about it on Rogan's podcast. Fascinating stuff. Go watch it if you haven't seen it yet.
And that treatment now is also being denied to a lot of people because of the way that they were born, especially in places like New York, where the governor has ruled that if, you know, you're born a particular way, you can't even get some of these therapies. So
it has to be equitable.
Which is absolutely crazy that we have a health policy run like this. But again, the United States is already very dependent on China for a lot of our medical equipment, for a lot of our drugs that are imported here. And the fact that China is still gaming the market this way, China has also tried to effectively take the tests that a lot of people take through COVID so they could also DNA harvest, according to the FBI, the general public of the United States, so they could game the big pharma market. I think China sees big pharma as a big threat, as a big institution, and they're trying to counter and become them in many instances. I think this is an example of but there's many instances when they do this.
So to break that down, right, GSK, by the way, also has huge facilities right outside of Shanghai. I've been there when I was with the American Chamber and I was working with international business in Shanghai. So the difference is the R&D. So you know how, like, what does it say on the back of like an Apple or an Apple iPhone? It says, you know, designed in California, right? Usually says that, even though, of course, California is in the United States, but that's another story. Should say designed in the USA, but we know why they don't do that. So the R&D is typically done in the United States or somewhere in the West. But the precursors and the actual manufacturing, that's what's being done in China now. So the Chinese government, the CCP, understands that as long as you cut the proprietary information out, you're only giving us the stuff that's down the chain. We don't understand how you put it all together. We don't understand the research side of it. And so the game for these companies is to keep, you know, it's kind of like, KFC keeps their, their recipe a secret. Yeah, so you can tell what the ingredients are, but you don't know it all exactly right. The way it's done. And so the idea is for China, if they can then go and steal all the way you put it together, the same way you were just talking about the source code, you get the source code, now you can cut them out, now you can do it yourself.
So you think the Chinese spies, the spy ring was stealing the source code of how to produce the antibodies out of Philadelphia? That's
100%.
Okay.
I think Jack is saying that you're a Chinese spy, Ian. Hey, Jack, you're constantly trying to free the code.
By the way, online to everyone, because I'm not a Chinese spy.
我们知道这个Ian的话，他就是这个密码，然后关于他的话，他的手机，他的 email address， 然后他的地址 address， 我会告诉你们，等一下告诉你们。
What?
Ian, nope. Respond.
I'm a huge fan of the Chinese, and I'm sad to see the way that the CCP has hijacked the system.
Sure, man. It's true.
Well, you know, AI has been, again, their developments in that field is also very eye-opening, but when it comes to intellectual property, they also have stolen a lot and have been able to.
How you leapfrog all that stuff. Like, in Shanghai, for example, where I live, that's why I always go back to it, that, you know, they never, so remember when the United States went through a process with phones, you know, you go from Edison, you go from, you know, the original, it's sort of like a dial, and then you go to the switchboard, and then you go to rotary phones, and then eventually you get fiber optic and cellular, right? So you don't need phone lines when you build a new house anymore because nobody wants it. You might need something for internet, but you're not wiring the house anymore. Well, Shanghai never had to go through that process. They don't have wires all over the place, so they just leapfrogged it. It's the same because they were able to get the technology from us.
Right.
They learned it from us. So it's the exact same process. They're leapfrogging, and then at the same time, they've got the money and the manpower to be able to, once they get that process, once they get the source code, once they get the technology, then they can cut us out. Then eventually, think of this, right? They cut us out on that end. They already have all the precursors. Now we have to go to them
China's the future, man.
Here's a question. If you could get, say there was a treatment like monoclonal antibodies and it turned out it was amazing, but there was American pharma companies trying to profit off of other stuff, but you could get the clonal antibodies super cheap from the CCP, would you do it? Or would you boycott the CCP and
say, Ian, we already are.
That's crazy.
That's what Luke's saying. All of this stuff already comes through the CCP. Like, this isn't some new thing, right? It's that our companies, our Wall Street firms, our Silicon Valley firms have all made deals with the CCP to get their manufacturing, to get their slave labor. Elon Musk just opened a Tesla facility in Xinjiang. Right, in Xinjiang, China. Elon Musk, who on his Weibo page praises the CCP for their 100 years of glory. And all, like, I get what he does, right? He goes to the US and he says what he wants, what they want to hear. He goes to Europe, he goes to China. Like, I it's not hard to figure that out. But understand what's going on here, right? There's the higher level, there's the overworld, and then there's the stuff that we can see down here.
It's all a big joke.
I want to double check. You guys know Ben Goertzel? You familiar with his work? He's like the preeminent artificial intelligence scientist on Earth.
I've heard the name, yeah.
I think he's in China. Let me double check this. No. Andreas told me he lives in China. Why would he be in China? That's my question.
Because he wants to be on the
cutting edge. There's also no kind of regulations, and the government allows private enterprise, which they essentially control in many aspects, to do whatever they want. Dr. Fauci allowed dangerous, you know, gain of function research to be done in China and not in the United States, because he couldn't do it in the United States because of all the rules and regulations.
At this point,
he could have done it with China if he gave China the source code and the information of what they were working on.
At this point, the conspiracy theorists have been right so often. I'm ready to just be like, Alex, you know, just give me the list and we'll just.
They're not conspiracy theorists. They're spoiler alerts. Yeah. You gotta understand that. That's the new word.
I like the meme where it's like 2020 or it's like 2020 conspiracy theorist, 2021 conspiracy analyst. And it's like a picture of the first guy is like just like wearing regular clothes. Second one's wearing a suit.
You saw somebody made a meme already going back to Ethan Klein of that. They put, health expert Ethan Klein, conspiracy theorist Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan's all ripped.
He's like all
and
ripped.
Ethan's all like morbidly obese.
And just like morbidly obese, yeah, hooked up to his Oculus. No, but this is, you know, this is like this.
Was that he was wearing the Oculus?
He's not, but
he should would be.
If I were making the meme, he would, because that would just take it to the next level.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, this is what they want. They want you to say, oh, who's playing in Metaverse tonight? Who's doing that? And then you get distracted by that. Meanwhile, you're missing the entire, like, talk about, you know, the way they want you worried about the wage gap, right? Between the quote unquote wage gap between men and women. So you're not talking about the wage gap that Luke is talking about between the oligarchs and everybody else, right? Dude. So they pit you against each other. So against left and right, male, female, you know, ethnic, different, you know, racial stuff that they want to get you all divided on so that you're not looking against the up down axis at all.
It's been that way, forever.
For all of human history, literally.
Right. And this big split with like CRT happened, a big fissure moment was Occupy Wall Street. There's that famous cartoon where it's all the people protesting saying we're the 99% and then the rich guy's in the room and he says, introduce them to identity politics.
And we might get into this later, you know, but I told Lydia I was going to bring it up. I have a jump off point, so I'm going with it. We at Human Events, we found a Tumblr post by 12 Clara, who is a user there, who basically admitted that Glee, the TV show, was the plague ship for wokeness into the American mainstream.
What?
The TV show
Plague Ship.
Was the plague ship. This user now, 12 Clara, was one of like the leaders of the Glee online fandom on Tumblr. This post she wrote, which is basically like an epitaph to all of that, is admitting all of this. Where do you guys think the word problematic came from? Mm. Where do you guys think that the idea of the representation anger, you know, do we have a character who fits this demographic, that demographic? Do you have a character who is this, who's that? Right? That all comes, from Glee and from the original Glee fandom. And then the wars, because people get mad about it, arise from this idea of people becoming not just sympathetic for the characters, but actually empathetic by actually viewing the television character as a mirror image of themselves, where it's not only identity politics from the sense of racial and gender, but identity politics from the idea of I identify with a TV character. Because, and don't get me wrong, I love the work that Chris Rofo and James Lindsay have done tracking this stuff academically, but people have not tracked the pop culture history of wokeness to explain why it came about. And if you look at the history of Glee and Occupy Wall Street, that sort of, you know, middle 2010s milieu, and people don't realize
social media,
that show hitting social media pre-Netflix, right? All of these things hitting at the same time just launched all of this stuff into the stratosphere.
But I think social media is the biggest driver of all of it. I think Glee played a role in pop culture, but I think it's part, when did Glee come out? Do you know what year?
It starts 2009.
Yeah.
And so, then it got big in 2011 is when it got big. The exact beginning of Twitter and Tumblr.
But I still think it's social media.
No, but that's what I'm saying though. It's the combination of social media with these TV shows that are introducing people for the first time.
It's not academia.
And I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Peter Boghossian and I have debated this.
This stuff may have originated there in some sense, but these guys nobody on Tumblr is, you know, going and reading these academic papers.
No, it's not that. It's that at universities, there's a bunch of different ideologies.
Correct.
There's critical race theory.
Well, there used to be.
There used to be. But, this is the one ideology, you know, critical race theory that comes out and expands. And it's because intersectionality was, social media was a prime vector for stuffing keywords into articles. So you can say, you know, trans women of color being experiencing police brutality is the epitome of Black Lives Matter. And you fit every single keyword, you get more views, and thus critical race theory starts becoming more and more prominent. There you go.
Simple. Yeah, no, I don't see this as necessarily being, in conjunction with that or in contrast to that. What I'm saying is you got to read this post, right? It's just amazing what she lays out where she's
like.
You have
it on Twitter or something?
We have the whole thing everywhere, right? Lydia, I think I sent you the one.
Well, the post-millennial did it.
Yeah, the post-millennial did. Yeah. So our version is like super long and gets into like a ton of different things. They went in and did basically a summary where we just post her Tumblr post.
Do you know when they posted it?
In 2017.
I like how you know.
Post-millennial posted that?
No, post-millennial posted it today.
Oh, okay. What it's called?
It is, I think you just work, if you look up Glee, it'll probably come up.
I like how you mentioned the psychosis that can come from identifying with a TV character, which isn't a real person.
Exactly.
And this is where, like, which Game of Thrones character are you? Which right. Glee character are you?
Exactly.
And you see these people like.
So the popularity of those shows, plus intersectionality, hitting identity politics and social media at the same time, you put, this was a TV show, by the way, that was getting 30 million people in ratings at one point, right? This is a massive cultural force.
Here's a story from Postmillennial. Entertainment consultant admits Glee sparked the woke movement within the U.S.
Oh, did I mention that, by the way? The Tumblr user, 12 Clara, it did an interview with Salon where she kind of like quasi outed herself in terms of real name and said, oh, by the way, my real name is Aaron. What do you do now? I work as a Hollywood entertainment consultant.
Wow.
Nice.
Of course. They all come from Tumblr.
So were they a consultant at the time?
No. So when they were on Tumblr and involved in like the toxic Glee fandom, no. Right there. The Glee fandom is not history. It's blood. I still see it all over this website. The vague posts, the deactivated URLs. Where do you think the word problematic became popular? Where do you think the representational anger? Glee was the hungry, gaping void that consumed us all. It said, watch us and find yourself.
Wow.
There's something from everyone. And there's characters lesbian, characters gay, characters bisexual, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on and on. And it said, this is your only outlet for body positivity. We are all oppressed by something, but we are different and we are outcast and we are you.
Everyone's oppressed so long as you agree with them.
Exactly.
If you challenge it and say an individual can be strong, they say no, because I think it's really simple.
Well, and this
telling
is what,
an, telling an individual
this is what peace
gets into. Telling an individual they're strong breaks their collectivism. Telling an individual they're weak and oppressed means you have to be a part of the collective, otherwise you'll be victimized.
Well, and this is amazing because it's like the show portrays all the protagonists of the show, and we do mention, of course, the Glee curse, and we get into that as well a little bit, but it portrays all of the main characters as victimized and oppressed and all of this when you've got the captain of the football team, the captain of the cheerleading squad, you know, these people, they're all gorgeous. They're great singers. They're putting on, like, somehow they're able to do Broadway level productions at like some random high school in Ohio. Yeah. And they seem to be quite popular across stage and screen in universe, right? In the show. And yet they're told that they are victimized and oppressed. And then they wear that as the badge of honor. This, I'm telling you, that audience that came up watching this show and then the other shows that spun off of it, this was one of the biggest plague ships of wokeness into the
mainstream.
The plague ship.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying this is like, and people were, you know, were trying to flame the comments, you know, when I posted on Twitter today, they said, well, you know, Pasolbeck, this isn't the very first place that we saw political correctness. This wasn't, I was like, guys, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this was one of the biggest vectors, but because the later seasons of it sucked, and because of the Glee curse, which, and, you know, horrific
What's
things.
The Glee curse?
The fact that three of the main characters are now, or the three of the main actors are now deceased.
That's Whoa. Right. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously. So Cory Monteith dies first. He was the original main character.
Right.
And what happened?
Of the show. He ODs 2013.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
During the show's course. Yeah. So he ODed, and this was the captain of the football team character, who ODs. Then you know what happened to Mark Salling, right?
No. I don't watch Glee. I don't know who these people are.
I mean, no, the huge story though. So I think it was while the show was wrapping up, he gets busted for child porn.
Whoa. Oof,
and yikes. This was sort of like the bad guy. So he was sort of like the foil for the main football player. He was like, you know, the tight end or something on the team, but he was like the bad boy who cheated on the cheerleader with, you know, with him and everything. And he gets busted for child porn, gets arrested, later hangs himself.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, the other cheerleader, not the captain, but Santana.
She drowned.
And this is legitimate tragedy. This is just a real tragedy. Just last year, she drowned in a lake outside of Los Angeles while trying to save her 4-year-old son. Their boat had capsized or something.
Yeah. So sad.
And she gets her son back in. They find the son later on alone and have no idea where the mother is. They find her body, you know, later on, you know, in
that's,
other parts
that's
of the
lake. Brutal, man.
Yeah.
But, so, you know.
Just this crazy curse. They call it like the Glee curse.
Do you think that it was,
What I'm saying, my contention is that, and as horrific as all those things are, my contention is the fact that Glee isn't in the discourse as much anymore is because people talk about it in terms of this curse, but they also totally overlook the fact that it was the plague ship that introduced a lot of wokeness to a huge broad swath, particularly of millennials who are watching this thing. Because remember, we know they weren't working in 2009, right? You know, nobody's got jobs. Everybody's, you know, maybe going into more debt while they're working on their masters, and they're starting to sign up to Twitter. They're starting to sign up to Tumblr. And what are they talking about? They're talking about Glee.
And they would have been 10 and 12 years old. Now they're 23. Do you think that it was intentionally produced that way to do that, or just more like this is how these people happen to feel like victims and they wrote a show about it?
So we researched this, and then I didn't write the piece, but I did edit it. And one thing that we do track is that when the show was originally written, it was actually kind of like a parody, right? Sort of a parody of like High School Musical, and it was satirical. It was actually kind of tongue in cheek, and it was meant to be self-aware. And it was the fandom that turned it into that. Mm. So when the fandom became so incredibly tribal about, I demand that my character that I identify with go through these, you know, aspects, or the whole idea of, if you know anything about fan culture, shipping, right? Do you guys know shipping?
Yeah.
No, what is it?
Oh man. So, okay. Lydia, what is shipping?
So shipping is basically where you like create this mindset where these people that you see in the show are in a relationship. Right? It's like a fandom.
Right. Or so you want the characters to be in a relationship, but then in some aspects of some fandoms, it gets so bad that you actually start making up these like conspiracies that the actors themselves are also secretly in a relationship. They did this, by the way, with the Star Wars movies, the Disney Star Wars movies. They called themselves Raylos, right? And dead serious. And the Raylos all believed that Adam Driver and what's the girl's name?
Daisy
Ripley were in a secret relationship. They started harassing Adam Driver's actual wife in real life.
That's
because
weird.
Again, the parasocial relationship went beyond, right? So you've got an empathetic media mass psychosis, you know, formation going on where they have an insatiable urge for their false reality, or what we might call it a metaverse reality, to come in and actually take the form in the real world, to the point where the fact that Adam Driver is actually married to someone separate and that he's a real person who's, you know, I'm sure he's in love with his wife. That's why he married her. That she needs to be removed from the story because that does not satisfy the beliefs of the Raylos.
Dude, what are humans?
I know, right?
The hell are we doing?
Yeah, I know, right? And it's amazing and it's wild. And unfortunately, it's all true. And the fact that people overlook this influence, the toxic influence, and you could look at other shows. Like, so the reason that I'm kind of halfway into this stuff is because I originally started my Twitter account and blog in 2012 to make fun of the Game of Thrones TV show. And so I sort of came up online through that and then eventually got into making fun of politics, and here I am. But I remember that the Game of Thrones online fandom was just as bad, but it wasn't as big as Glee was at the time. But it was ridiculous. And I remember, like, I got kicked out of the DC Game of Thrones book club because, you know, I remember saying I thought it was funny that people were pirating all the episodes and so HBO wasn't getting any of the money. And these people lost their minds. They completely lost their mind. I got banned from the Game of Thrones Reddit. I got banned from all these different things because I didn't have these types of, like, false empathetic media relationships, whereas other people were literally, they could not separate themselves from that false reality. And I think, by the way, the most ubiquitous one of these of all, the reason I don't mention it in terms of wokeness is because it's not particularly woke, though, is Harry Potter, right? Oh, yeah. And there is a reason that every aging childless millennial will always use Harry Potter as their reference, their frame of reference for literally everything.
There was this creepy post on Reddit where this teenage girl was like, my parents named me after a Harry Potter character and my brother after a Star Wars character. They're obsessed with it. We hate it. We hate all of it. We get made fun of. Millennials, man. How about we do this? How about we go to Super Chats?
I'm sorry, kid. Children of millennials, I'm sorry.
Smash that like button. Subscribe.
Except for my children, of course.
Subscribe to the channel. Smash that like button. Go to timcast.com. Become a member. And we're going to have a members-only segment coming up for you guys at around 11 or so p.m. It's again at timcast.com. Become a member. As a member, you're helping support our fierce and independent journalism. And you're helping support this show. But don't forget to like smash. That's what I wrote in the pinned comment. I got messages from people. Because the other day I put smash the smash like, and I actually got a bunch of emails. They were like, hey, just want to let you know you made a mistake. And I was like,
completely
intentional. All right, let's see what we got here. Seth Boo says, Tim, I know it's early, but since you have Poso, you asked when the last time a new Christmas song was written. Sabaton wrote Christmas Truce. Check it out.
Christmas Truce is excellent. I love that song.
Really? I've not heard it.
So so Sabaton always, not always, but they do now. They write power metal songs about actual military history and actual battles.
Cool.
And so, but in Christmas Truce, of course, that's not a battle. That was the armistice that was held on Christmas Day between the French and the German soldiers, and they played a game of soccer across the trenches.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, cool story. Alex Tobias says, hey, Tim, I'm a video game artist. I'm going to be fired soon for not getting the procedure. I sent an email to jobs in April, but no reply. Happy to send another one if you'd like. Hi, Poso. I'm a big fan. Let me write down your name because actually I think we need a video game artist.
You can send it to Spin the UFO.
I can pass it on. Write down your name. Send an email to spintheufo@gmail.com, right?
Yeah. What's his name?
Alex Tamayo.
Perfect. I'll look for that.
And then, we'll take a look at your samples. And we do need a video game artist. I believe we do. We have a couple projects in the works. And so we could definitely use that assistance. Dragon Audiobook says, my name is Marco. I make audiobooks like Founders Keep, an epic fantasy fiction story with dragons, magic, and adventure. Oh, that's very cool.
Sounds awesome.
All right. Let's see where we are at. Some people saying, welcome back, Ian.
Hi, everyone.
Waffle Sensei. Ian, welcome back. You look good, bro. Nice shave. We love you.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah, what were you doing? Where were you?
I went to Ohio for about 10 days, spent some time with family and friends. That was incredible. I went out to Washington State with a friend of mine. I microdosed on some mushrooms and saw the world clearly. It was absolutely wonderful. And spent a lot of time watching fractal geometric patterns like the 64 tetrahedron, the flower of life. Highly recommend looking into it. Thanks for asking, Tim.
All right. Ghost Crusader says, Ian is correct. At the end of the Langoliers, they run down the terminal holding hands and jump in the air to a freeze frame.
Lock it in.
Yo, I didn't realize Stephen King did the
the miniseries?
No. Did the what you call it? The 16 Candles. Who did 16 Candles?
John Hughes.
Yeah, the John Hughes ending.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny.
Well, the 80s John Hughes. Yeah, right. Later John Hughes got away from that stuff. There's in Ready Player 2, there's a whole John Hughes planet inside the Oasis.
You know, I would love to, it's someday in the future, let's have a psychedelic expert on, because my experience with mushrooms, I mean, and it's
Graham Hancock.
Oh, we'll do it.
Get Graham Hancock.
Largest organism in the world is that mycelial net under Earth. It's
fascinating creatures.
McKenna would also be good. I interviewed him before.
Oh, Terrence McKenna.
Here's a good one. The Grim Truth says, I feel about Ian as I feel about graphene. I don't know what either does, but I like it.
You're a beautiful soul. I love you.
Right. By the way, one thing when I'm talking to like other like political type people in DC and about Tim Pool, they're like, yeah, I like Tim, I like, but there's this Ian guy. They're like, I don't quite get what he is. I'm like, well, exactly.
I was talking to Michael and he was like, it took me a minute to figure out what Ian brought to the show, but now I get it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool.
I also, Ian is the perfect foil for Tim.
I left for 2 weeks. I was like, let's just give it some time, you know, love. What do they say? Time heals all wounds. Give it some space, Crossland.
All right. Scotty says, how do you think the Supreme Court will rule on the stay request for the vaccine mandates this Friday?
Well, keep in mind that stay requests don't necessarily mean the final ruling, right? That's just the emergency injunction. And so, unless I'm not tracking on something, that I think this is just the emergency injunction. And typically we've seen that this Supreme Court, now it depends. It's not the entire court that'll rule on it. It's just like which panel of judges that you draw. So I think it's three, that they have not been ruling on. They have not been continuing state. So they've been allowing the states to be able to run as they see fit and then waiting for a full hearing.
All right. Beefy says, Getter just blocked Tommy Robinson's movie trailer called The Rape of Britain. So they're censoring as well. Thoughts? Keep it the good work.
That's usually how it starts, is with white, the supremic, content. Like, it's okay to be with all that white stuff. That's because it's illegal.
I don't think that's what Tommy Robinson
is. Isn't he like a white?
I don't think that's what the documentary is about.
I'd have to check that out, because I remember that seeing a lot of promotion for that on Getter recently, and so it would surprise me that they. Jeez. You know, I'd have to look at the specifics.
Yeah,
Tommy Robinson's documentary. I haven't seen the trailer. It's about grooming gangs.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Yeah.
I hope it's not the kind of thing where
that's been his whole career, basically.
Right. They target a person, like, I was always of the ilk that 17. If someone violates content, you ban that account. But if they make a new account and they choose not to violate the content anymore, then they're in the clear. As opposed to looking at Tommy and, like, wherever he is, let's just try and whack-a-mole Tommy. It doesn't make any – that's not social. You know, it's anti-social.
It's political, man. All right. Nate Carpenter says, do you think that these special ops people killed the lady on January 6th? Only person dead, and we don't know who killed her. That's Ashley, not true, though. We do know the guy's name now, don't we? I don't want to say it because, you know, I'm not sure.
No. But, I mean, he was on 60 Minutes, I believe. He was on ABC.
All right. Well, there you go.
He's, come public. Lieutenant, I can't think of his name I'm talking about. He's a lieutenant, though. The U.S. Capitol Police, and he's come public. Someone can remind me.
Yeah, he's the guy that previously left a firearm. He left a firearm in a public place and was reprimanded.
And it was the interview was horrific, by the way. Like, they had to help him through the interview, and he was basically, I mean, he was saying stuff about, like, I had to do that. You know, she was going to kill Mike Pence. She was going to do all this stuff. That, you know, he couldn't possibly know by looking at her, and that he couldn't possibly. Now, he could say. He could have said a number of things, but the stuff that he was saying in this interview, it made him look horrific. It made him look really bad.
We got a super chat from John Paul Diodati. He says, hey, Tim, I'm also a 3D artist and I would love to support the cause. YouTube name is accurate. We also send an email to spintheufo@gmail.com with your name, and we'll get back to you because we could use a 3D artist as well. But probably more for like 3D printing, resin and ABS and things like that. But, you know, we'll take a look and we'll see what's going on.
Did you guys see Tommy Robinson's car blown up outside Telford Hotel 8 hours ago?
Seriously? Yeah, I think we have an article on that.
So you think he's being targeted because of this documentary he did?
Yo, they've been going after this guy relentlessly.
I mean, they've been targeting Tommy for years. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
In and out of jail. And all the rest of it.
And it's like,
well, they locked him up for reporting on the case of the grooming game.
It was like they were about to issue a verdict or something. And he's outside the courtroom like, oh, you're interfering with the trial. So you're under arrest.
I remember that video, by the way. He was filming himself.
Yeah.
And he was talking, I believe it was Facebook, and he was just talking to his phone.
And they are out for that, dude, man. That's crazy. All right. Omega says, Tim, there is no such thing as establishment left. Right means establishment and left means counter-establishment. I cringe every time. That is not true. That is completely wrong.
Someone's living in the 1950s.
Yeah, seriously. No, you are incorrect, sir. With all due respect, I appreciate the super chat, but you are wrong.
This is why, by the way, every remake of Footloose will feature a Christian pastor. right? Even though, even though we know that in the 1980s, Christian pastors may, over some small towns of America, wielded that amount of control. The plot of Footloose is that they're not allowed to, you know, have rock
dancing
music
is forbidden.
And dancing is forbidden in the town. And so they have to go just outside the town limits to hold the prom. And, you know, Kevin Bacon's there. And so the Christian right hasn't had that power in the United States for decades, right? The left has been ascendant by and far, but it is completely the origin story and ethos of the left to, as your commenter just stated, to be, we are the counter revolutionaries. We are the rebel alliance. We are the ones who are fighting against you, when they don't realize they won years ago. They won.
They
years
are the
ago.
Establishment.
You are the empire now.
But the point is,
this is your music video.
Yeah. Well, language is just how we describe concepts and ideas. You're not going to convince. You're not going to be speaking English if you call Hassan, you know, right wing. They're going to be like, what? Like, well, he's right wing because he is establishment and he supports establishment narratives and big corporations. So he's inherently right wing. It's nonsensical. Like when Vosh says Tim Pool is a conservative, anybody who knows anything about conservatives,
establishments
like,
change.
That's literally not true. Like, that that makes no sense.
Establishments change.
Establishments
left
change.
And right mean many different things. There's the economic scale, where left is cooperative systems and right is competitive systems. And then you have the cultural scale, where far right means traditionalism and far left means progressivism. And then there is the revolutionary scale, which is the left were revolutionary and the right were status quo. It means a variety of different things. So, there you go.
You also have libertarians would describe it as, you know, totalitarian versus anarchism.
Right.
Yeah, the up and the down.
There's a bunch of different ways.
I mean, there's so many different ways you could go.
All right, we got another one. We got another semantic statement. Dan says, stop using the word liberal to refer to the Democrats. That word has a root in the Latin word for freedom, and the Democrats are not for anything about freedom. We need to take that word back. You know, crackpot authoritarian?
Liberalists.
I that's why I can't stand when people say liberalism.
Yeah.
So the idea of being able to take words back, I think, doesn't work. I think the way that but when a new term is placed into the discourse, it actually becomes a jump ball. And the people who can run to that one the fastest are the ones who then claim it. So the perfect addition of this, there's two actually that I can think of recently in the sort of linguistic warfare that's out there. Number one is fake news. The term fake news was not created by Donald Trump or anyone on the right. It's created by the Washington Post.
Yep.
And, you know, a sort of milieu of left-wing journalists who were using it to describe people who were posting stuff online, like Luke or myself or Tim or basically everyone in this room, during the election. They said, you are fake news. Then the right stole that and basically independents stole that
right.
And used it on essentially mainstream media for the remainder of history, and they've been destroyed. The other one is Let's Go Brandon.
Yeah.
Right? As silly as it is, this was not something that was created by the right. And I think it's so hilarious every time I see people try to say this. No, it was created by an NBC reporter.
Right. All right. Matthew says, hey, y'all, trying to escape the Oregon regime. VA, MT, or TX. Wife cannot finish her degree in education without the jab. I need a decent paying state for teaching and agriculture irrigation work. Love y'all. PSF Fauci. Yeah, what do you think? Which state? Is that, Vermont, Montana, or Texas?
Well, not Vermont.
No, that's not Vermont.
You'd be crazy.
Virginia. Sorry.
No, Virginia. Yeah, Vermont's the number one VT. Most vaccinated state. VA would be Virginia. Yeah.
Right, Virginia. I wouldn't go to Virginia. We're
Montana, maybe. Montana, Idaho?
Yeah, the challenge, so when we were looking at places to set up, the first place I looked was Montana and Wyoming.
Yeah.
The problem is infrastructure. And so,
yes.
You know, if you get an airport, we can fly people wherever. It's you know, if you live in a city.
You know, that's the plot of Yellowstone. Or it was the plot. It was the plot of Yellowstone.
They go out to build a company in Wyoming?
Montana.
Montana.
Yeah.
But what kind of company?
Well, it's it's done from the perspective of a rancher who's fighting against all the people and the rancher is
I heard it's really good.
It was until this last season.
Oh.
It just goes off the rails. Totally off the rails.
All right, well,
Kevin Costner's the lead. But it's so really good until this season.
It's actually fairly expensive. Yeah. It's not as cheap as people think. West Virginia was better. That's why we chose it. Because there's big plots of land for low cost and infrastructure is right there. Now, we had to get the cable lines installed, the fiber optic, and that was really expensive.
Yeah.
So they came and actually laid down the line, buried it, and then had to connect it to the house, which is, we had to hire a second company to do it. Took like 4 months or whatever.
More here at this place?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask? And it's, yeah, and wow. I understand if you can't say, but did the state offer you anything for that? Cause you, I
mean, we didn't ask them.
Oh, yeah, but you, right. I mean, they knew you were setting up a shop here, setting up a business. As a business owner.
Well, no one came and talked to us, and we didn't talk to anybody.
Right, because in other states, by
West
the way,
Virginia,
they will offer, in other states, they will offer, oh, right, they will offer, you know, tax credits, but only if you go in cities, right, because they want to build up the cities.
Right.
If you're out in the, and we were up to up in Alaska, and I was talking to a microbrewery about this that was out, you know, sort of in one of the more touristy areas, and they were saying, he's like, they don't give me anything, man. The state, they'll give me, and the federal government will give me all these subsidies if I go and link in the grid and make the city bigger. But if I say, no, I want to run my business out here in a rural area because I love this area and I love serving these people, I'm on my own.
I wonder
if
they'll
got to pay full freight.
If the governor of West Virginia would work with us to build like an off-grid, on-grid hybrid setup where we can shut off free domestand to the grid and then turn it, put it back on.
We should actually,
you know, Art Bell did that.
If you guys listening know anybody who works in West Virginia, we're near Harper's Ferry. I don't want to give out too much because we're currently doing construction, but we have free domestand. We bought a big plot, it's like 50 acres. And, maybe there is something we can do because one of the reasons I want to, right now this facility we're in is in Maryland. We're on the border. And then I live in West Virginia, but we're going to set up our main big hub in
West Virginian Tim Pool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Proud West.
Never thought I'd live in that state. But it's opportunity. There's a ton of opportunity there. And I think Florida has freedom. I think Texas has freedom, but I don't think they have as much opportunity because they're both very overdeveloped. New Hampshire's pretty good. Weather could be an issue. And so we ultimately settled on West Virginia. And even in the Panhandle, there's a bunch of opportunities.
Did you definitely want to be East Coast?
No. We were looking at Wyoming and Montana.
Okay.
But infrastructure was a huge problem.
Yeah.
So I was like in the middle of nowhere, extremely expensive internet, few roads. If we did do it, setting up there, we'd have to fly people in and have a guest house for them instead of a hotel or something, depending on where we were. And then just internet in general was very difficult. Now with Starlink coming out.
I was going to say Starlink would change that. Yeah.
But they're delayed. We were supposed to have Starlink already. And they're like, we'll get it to you at some point next year. So, but now, we've got like three different
busy,
internet lines.
Elon's too busy opening up factories in Xinjiang.
We got a new building being built, 7,500 square feet, three stories. This is going to be insane. So it's, 7,500 square feet total space, but then we're building internal structures in a portion of it for the new studio. It's going to be amazing. The designs are insane. And we're going to be hiring more people, doing more work, doing more, you know, production. And I think that's going to be a huge opportunity for the people who are near us in West Virginia for work. It'll build up the economy. Maybe we should reach out to see.
That being said, there's a little beef between me and Tim that I should probably mention before we get done here. Boy. And speaking of building new facilities, because I would have loved to show you the new facilities at Turning Point USA out in Phoenix.
When
we had America Fest with 10,000 screaming patriots.
It's crazy. It's huge.
Who came out. I don't know if you saw any of the videos of that thing. That's where I was for 10 days out in Phoenix. Dude, there's three buildings already right now out there for Turning Point, and they are expanding.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
So they got like a campus?
It's a campus. Yeah, it's essentially a campus.
Well, we're going to do that here in West Virginia.
And so we should compare notes.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to have
zip line.
Yeah, no, we are inside the building.
Oh, I meant from here to Turning Point.
Turning Point should do, because the buildings are actually in pretty close proximity, we should have building to building zip lines. Yeah. You don't have to go downstairs and walk across the parking lot.
Yes. We're going to have the studio is going to be in the second floor as like its own unique structure and the whole back wall. So like if you guys that are watching, when you're seeing Jack, it's going to be glass. And you're going to look and you're going to be able to see the whole production facility.
I want to be like a giant wall of TVs and I'm just on that wall all the time.
Outside? Looking down on
people
and pointing
looking down
at
on people.
All right. But we'll
there's
we'll
a good feeling in the space.
We think this might be up and running within 6 months.
You want to do one?
How many words per minute are you typing there, Bob?
One-way glass so we can see past
No.
Jack.
People can watch it. People can look in and see the show.
We actually used to have that at Navy Intel. We like the control room that was above, and then you would have a map of the world was behind you, and then any any incidents or if something was going on, that would flash up on the world map. And you could, and then whoever was running it, whoever's like the officer of the deck or if the captain was around, the CO, you could, or you could say, hey, zoom in on that. And then that would blow up.
That'd be cool. Let's say it was like, this coming in from New Mexico and it like zooms to the thing and then it like zooms in and the story comes up as he's explaining.
On the glass.
That's exactly.
Well, we're not there yet.
I'm just saying.
We're getting there.
Yeah. All right. Let's read some more. We got Tom Bear says, how about CERN getting fired up in March at 3x power?
Get ready for the reality shift, folks. It is coming. We lost Harambe last time. Let's see what happened. We lost Harambe. We lost Berenstain. Berenstain. It's now Berenstain.
You're gonna be watching the show, and the next day, Ian's gonna be super ripped and like 3 feet taller.
That's right. Not a joke either.
No joke. His hair's gonna be short, and he's gonna be like, yo, Ian.
Carrot Top Ian.
Yeah. Carrot Top Ian.
Full Carrot Top.
That is crazy. Carrot Top. Was he always ripped like that?
No. That's what's crazy about it. He normally looked like Ian.
He was just on Rogan. He said he was in Vegas working and he had everything taken care of, so he just went nuts and started working out 3 hours a day.
Good for him. There
you go.
Wow. Jacked.
That's what some people in prison do that.
Yeah.
That's what the entertainment industry is like.
Pretty much.
All right. Let's grab some super chats. Fisheye Studios says, has anyone noticed Luke enunciates his words very thoroughly, such as against? He hangs onto the st all the way through. Admirable. But I notice he flies through his words in Polish. Love you, Luke.
Okay.
That's ESL, folks. That's ESL.
Luke, you worked out today. You were saying before the show.
We got a kickboxer trainer here, it was exhausting. So I'm obliterated. I'm tired. I'm exhausted.
Wild. But it's working on the high kick?
A lot of different things. Yeah.
Don't you mean a lot of different things?
I'll talk how I want. Okay?
All right. NT
says, we're all going to West Virginia now.
Ian makes the show 10 times better.
Love you, dude.
Well, there you go.
That's one magnitude.
Oh, I love you on the show.
Michael Scott Matthews says, is giving children Harry Potter names any less cringe than giving children Bible names? Both works of fiction.
Spicy. Yeah,
cringe comment. Very cringe comment.
Very indeed.
Let's see. The basis of all of Western civilization versus a book about some kids that go to magic school.
Seems roughly
magic
equivalent.
School.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Where are we at? I don't know why this matters, but Rex says Jon Snow and Ygritte are married in real life.
That just makes me so
happy. Are they still married?
Oh, are they?
I think so.
I know they got married.
Oh, is that a reference to a Game of Thrones Peter reference. Dinklage? Because Peter Dinklage said they wanted the pretty white people to...
Did he say that?
He said people hated it because they wanted the pretty white people to like flee together or something like that. I don't know, something stupid.
I didn't say Peter Dinklage. I've heard that Peter Dinklage is just a complete jerk in real life.
That was a beautiful love story, those two. Like, you could see them falling in love while they were working together. Aww. I thought. It's every once in a while you see actors, that happens with a couple actors.
Kit.
They lose it, man.
I hope
what's the guy's name? Oh, Kit Harington. Yeah, I don't know anything.
I don't know anything. All right, Kamikaze sort of says, acting. Thanks for the great show, Timcast and Poso. NASCAR just removed a Let's Go Brandon sponsorship for this year. You guys should contact Brandon Brown and support his team in these trying times.
Support Brandon, man.
They're canceling him over something someone else said.
That's pathetic.
No, it's because the Let's Go Brandon coin was going to come in, and then because he wasn't able to get sponsorships.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And then so they're canceling the sponsorship of Let's Go Brandon.
He got canceled because of the meme. Right. So then he's like, okay, I'll take this sponsor, Let's Go Brandon coin. And then they're like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, NASCAR has right of refusal on all sponsorships. Wow. So you can't have they could, for like adult stuff or they have their terms of service as well. But no, that's clearly, clearly politicizing. But if this was, by the way, if this was left wing, anything left wing that was coming in, NASCAR would let that in 100%.
Like a BLM coin?
All right.
Exactly.
Strider says, I work at Kohl's. Today they announced they will be following OSHA's ETS, which requires you to reveal vaccination status and start weekly testing. Supreme Court is hearing arguments against this on the 7th of January. Tyranny. I heard that Starbucks was going to be mandating all of their employees.
I heard that too.
And I was kind of wondering, how many employees do you think a Starbucks has?
40?
16? 50? Oh, 40?
40?
I don't know.
You guys agree? 40?
I don't know.
What, million?
No. One Starbucks location.
Oh, just one Starbucks?
16, final answer.
16?
30.
30?
30.
I was thinking about that. I'm like, I wonder how much they make. And if I can go to the local Starbucks out here and be like, anybody who doesn't want to get the vaccine is going to be fired, I will hire you right now.
We need baristas.
No, not even. I just be like, I'll hire you at the same hourly rate and we'll give you a guaranteed 40 hours a week. And you can just, hold a sign saying.
Fired from Starbucks.
Fired from Starbucks. And I'll give you
pure blush.
Guaranteed year of work or whatever.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way to do that ethically. What's something to do?
What's unethical about that?
I will pay you to hold up a sign saying I quit this job because of the vaccine mandates and I refused, and then just hold the sign and stand
and
there.
And then underneath, watch Team Guest IRL.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't do that. Like, I wouldn't want it to be about me. I'd be like, here you go, guys. Guaranteed income. You don't have to do this. You get 1 year because it really doesn't make sense beyond that. But you'll have a year to figure things out, and you'll keep getting paid, and you'll got to make coffee. No more customers. All you got to do is say, I refuse to work under these conditions. We could totally do that.
Tim is trying to start Occupy Starbucks right now. Yeah. That's what he's trying to do. He's coming full circle.
Culture jamming, you know? What are some clever ways to engage in, it's not even nonviolent civil disobedience, it's just like protest.
Occupy Starbucks.
Let's do it. You know, I wonder, you've got all these people, you know, like Joe Rogan's got a big show, but he's not expanding his voice beyond his show.
Comedy Club. That's the one thing he's doing. You were talking about on your show earlier. Yeah.
That I know, but I mean, like, the conversations he has, the very real, newsworthy conversations, comedy show's not going to do that. Comedy show will help for sure, but that voice he has on Joe Rogan's on the Joe Rogan Experience won't expand unless he puts money into it. He doesn't have to, you know.
Is he speaking at this rally that's coming up, the anti-mandate rally?
Oh, I don't think so.
Because I know McCullough and Malone are speaking, and then they mentioned that they have like some secret celebrity speakers. Right?
Where is it?
It's in D.C.
All right.
It's coming out at the end of January. And then...
What was it called again? Because I remember seeing something about this.
I think it's an anti-mandate rally.
I know, but it was called something. I forgot. People were sending it to me.
Yeah, they're sending it to me too. They're going to be mad that I got it wrong.
I'm trying to remember what it was.
I think Brett Weinstein's speaking.
Defeat the mandates, D.C.
There you go. And I remember when Malone mentioned it on the podcast, Rogan, you know, he kind of had like a non-response to it. And so it got me wondering if he was one of the celebrity speakers.
No idea. Let's do one more.
That'd be wild. That'd actually be wild. I was at the Juggalo March, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I remember the Juggalo March. That was awesome. They kicked out Antifa.
All right. Let's see. Happy Little Tree says, hey, gang. Hey, Poso. Got another dichotomy that we can use for this current conflict. Assassins and Templars. 2021 and 2020. 2020 and 2021 were the years we found out who is who. Is that a reference to the video game or like
Assassin's Creed?
Yeah,
Warhammer.
Except everything about Assassin's Creed history is completely backwards, but okay.
Yeah, but no. Let's be real. The one thing they got right was that the apple in the Bible was actually a reference to a computer that contained a bunch of information, and the aliens, it was alien technology, right?
Sure.
Have you guys played that game? That's the story.
That's secret right, Bible history. We're not supposed to talk about that. Okay. All right, we'll talk about that in the subscriber hour, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, everybody.
I think the apple was Judgment, by the way.
One more super chat. Ryan asks if we're putting an event center at Freedomistan.
We had no Judgment prior to that.
We are. One of the goals we're going to have at Freedomistan is that if you are a member of TimCast.com at a certain level, we haven't figured it out yet, that we're going to actually have a, like, you can apply to come and hang out on Friday nights, and it'll be like 10 tickets per week. This is what we wanted to do here, and we couldn't, but the new space will be able to, and you'll be like hanging at the bar, and you can see the show. While we're doing it, you'll hear it and everything and hang out.
So Candace Owens does. She has like you pay something, but then she'll have like a live audience. I mean, when I've done her show, it's like Ellen, right?
Oh, wow.
You walk in and the whole and everyone's applauding and they have like the little applause sign and it's big audience too. It's wild.
It's electrifying.
All right, everybody.
It adds something to the show. It really does.
Don't forget to smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and head over to TimCast.com. Become a member. Help support our journalism. But we're going to have a members-only segment posted about around 11 or so p.m. for all of you guys. So we greatly appreciate it. You can follow the show, TimCast IRL, basically everywhere. Follow us on Instagram where we post clips. You can follow me at TimCast. I'm on Instagram as well. Twitter, whatever. I like posting silly things on Instagram, so follow me there. Jack, you want to shout anything out?
Yeah, Jack Posobiec, host of Human Events Daily on the Turning Point Network. Follow Human Events. We give you the entire news that you need to know in just 25 minutes a day. It's just that easy. You don't have to listen for 2 hours. You don't have to listen for 3 hours. It's just 25 minutes. But if you do get a little bit tired listening to those long podcasts, if you get a little bit tired, the best way to recharge yourself is with the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, available to you at MyPillow.com, promo code POSO.
I hear those are awesome, by the way. My mom has one.
Everybody who got, did you use promo code POSO? Did you use promo code POSO to get your mother a MyPillow, Ian?
Becky?
Someone
Ian!
Tell me. Someone tweeted, I signed up for a Getter, And I haven't seen a post that wasn't an ad for MyPillow.
I was waiting for that MyPillow. I was going to ask you. I was like, where's the MyPillow?
But a lot, I tell you what though, a lot of people, by the way, if you got a new MyPillow for Christmas, and a lot of people have new MyPillows now because we just had Christmas, make sure you run it through the dryer once to activate the patented fill. This is something, there's a little card on the inside that tells everyone to do this, but not everyone does because they're like, oh, I don't need to read that. I throw it out. Like, I was the guy that always read the manual before I played the video game. Instead of like, cause I like the story. I like, cause there was always a little bit of a story in there. Run it through there. Cause I get a lot of people saying, hey man, this pillow, like you said, it's gonna be good, but run it through dry. Even 15 minutes. One cycle is fine. 15 minutes. It just fluffs it up. Boom. Pops it up like a ballpark Frank. I don't know, a kid from Chicago knows about ballpark Franks.
I definitely don't believe in reading the instructions beforehand, and real men don't do that. But anyway, when you're not sleeping and dozing off, you could be traveling, expatting, and also escaping, as I just released my travel, expatting, and escaping hacking masterclass, 50 never-before-seen videos, all available on lukeuncensored.com. I got a couple classes on there. I'm really proud of the video that I did today talking about the El Salvadorian government mandates that they just released, with a very funny, important video to the general public. So I talked about in great detail. I'm very proud of that video. LukeUncensored.com. Hope to see some of you guys there. Thanks for having me.
Follow me at IanCrossland.net. It is really good to be back. Great to see you guys again. I can confirm Kit Harington and Rose Leslie are married with the baby.
Aww,
congrats.
So
congrats for them. And congrats, I want to give a shout out to Mike, who I saw at the Red Horse Diner in Ellensburg, Washington.
Woo!
If you're out there, cool. Did you watch the show? Good to see you, Matt. It's weird. Like, for the first time, I'm going out and someone knew who I was.
That's
outside.
Awesome.
It was very, very casual, very, very, very normal. I think this is just the way it's going to be.
Normal.
Was it someone who was like, oh, you're Ian. I can't stand you on the show, but I know who you are.
And man, I was talking about science hard before he approached me too. So you've been listening for a while. Mike, thanks, man. Good to see you, buddy.
And you guys may follow me on Twitter at Sour Patch Lids. I'm very glad the gang's all back together and looking forward to another great week.
We will see you all at TimCast.com, 11 or so p.m. for members only. Sign up, and we'll see you all there.
Bye, guys.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.